What's poppin'? Drew and Mike show's on the air for Tuesday. It feels like a holiday today because I've been watching the Kobe Bryant service.
Oh, yeah.
It just, I really got caught up in it. It only lasted 2.5 hours. About
right.
4 hours, 5 hours shy of Aretha. Maybe.
6 hours.
Had to be a few hours shy of Jackson. I don't remember. That had to be a long one. I don't remember, but I know.
I don't remember that one either. Did they do that much then?
You know what?
Did they realize the potential of funerals?
I think they had lots of politicians and people weaseling in who really had no business speaking. Kobe's was really well done. I can't say enough about whoever put that on did a fantastic job. It's just a weird day because they announced that they're suing the pilot now and the helicopter company because they shouldn't have been flying, which to me is just so obvious.
Duh.
And that's going to be one huge wrongful death suit. I mean, huge, because potential earnings.
And in so many different directions, too. 9 people total, correct?
Yes.
You'd have to think it's going to close them down, for sure.
Absolutely.
Oh, and then some,
We'll file for bankruptcy.
Right.
Oh, boy.
Probably already in court doing that.
You think that was a strategy to kind of release this news during the memorial? That way all the Kobe news is memorial.
You know, I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it. And I agree with you. I think it was a good day to do it because it gets dwarfed by the coverage of him.
Right.
And I'm sure it's not the thing that she wants everyone talking about, which they will anyway.
True.
Eventually.
Yeah. Right. Well, but I walked in the middle of you rewatching
Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Who is a water faucet. When he cries out of everything in his face.
Do you have the Michael Jordan audio, Brandon? He made a good joke, actually.
Now he's got me. I'll have to look at another crime meme for the Knicks.
What house now? What was the...
Every orifice in his face just pours.
Yeah, his nose is a mess.
Jeez.
I told my wife I wasn't going to do this because I didn't want to see that for the next 3 or 4 years.
He did a great job.
Wow.
He was really good.
Really was a who's who because they kept panning to the audience the entire memorial. And if you're famous, if you were a basketball player, you were in that building.
Seriously, Shishella thought, there were some beautiful women in that building today. Basketball players have beautiful wives and girlfriends. And I couldn't help noticing. I'm sorry. There were a lot of beautiful people there.
Yeah.
And we'll get into the whole thing in a second. And there's other huge news. Today's a weird day. The Dow's down 1,000 points.
Balls.
Over coronavirus concerns because of Italy and South Korea. And I don't, you know, there's always a tipping point. When, there's just enough concern to make people say, I think I'm selling and going to a safe place because I don't know what's going on here.
Right.
I don't trust the information.
It actually caused I guess there's a big snag in the production line of phones, too. So if there are any new phones that are out and they're in production right now, they're
These people
screwed.
Are sick.
They're not going
this
anywhere.
I have to admit, I just have a little nervous about it. Just a little.
Yeah.
When I saw clips of Italy today, there were, I think, 12 cities. Did you see any of this, Brandon?
Italy? No.
They just shut down the towns.
Right,
like, don't go to work, don't gather in groups, and they're trying to, you know, which in a way I thought, well, that's good. I'm glad. It looks like they are doing something.
Yeah, but didn't they have to cancel things like those tomato fights that they always have or something like that? They went to great pains this morning on ABC to explain that the orange fight still went on. Where they fight with each other with food in the street.
If that's where the coronavirus goes
tradition.
Nuts from that tomato fight. Yeah, I don't know. It's on one hand, it's very strange going, ooh, it's a ghost town. And there's people, you know, in China, there were shots of towns where you couldn't get in. They had piled up dirt so high, you couldn't get in the main roads.
China!
Oh.
And they had people guarding the roads. And it's like, wow, this is telling me about this.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, Russia's closed off their entire south border. But isn't this kind of similar to the reaction of, you know, SARS, mad cow disease,
Ebola? Did they
block
off streets?
I mean, don't we...
This seems...
You think this one's bigger than the ones we've seen in the past?
To me, yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, by the way, Trump is livid about the 14 Americans that were brought home, which...
That's right.
I would have thought he would know about that, but apparently...
Well, he was in India, you know, so...
CDC, yeah, true.
They're losers.
And boy, do we love India. I wasn't really aware that we didn't or we did. I just didn't know we loved him that much. But yeah, why shouldn't we love India?
Of course.
Yeah. And they love him, too, apparently.
Those people, though, they were trying to, they were like, here, Alabama, you have them. And Alabama was like, no, you get them out of here. No, we don't want them. Because they have a FEMA camp there.
Oh, there's a hospital in, is it Costa Mesa, California? That's a town, right?
Yeah.
And I think they were going to bring people to this one hospital to quarantine them. And Costa Mesa went a little nuts and said, no, you're not bringing everyone here.
Yeah.
Not in my backyard. It's an old NIMBY.
I know. Somebody said Gitmo. Was that maybe Mark?
I think it was Drew.
I said Gitmo. I think that's a great idea. I mean, why not Gitmo?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's off the coast. It's not necessarily a bad
There's
place.
Nobody,
I mean, they got a prison there. But
a lot of people there that they're not high priorities.
Right. Yeah, you know, we don't care. I mean, that would resolve the problem of what to do with some of them, too.
Yeah, I don't know if that would resolve anything, but...
In the prison.
Northwestern Tech brings you Facebook Live today. They're the heating and cooling school in Southfield. HVAC is all they teach. The program's 10 and a half months. Over 50% of the training is hands-on. Last year, over 90% of their grads got great jobs in the field. If you or someone you know is trying to choose career path or you're looking to get out of a dead-end job, learn a skilled trade at Northwestern Tech. Go to northwesterntech.edu and you can promo code us. Not exactly promo code us. They ask, where'd you hear about this? And we're one of the options.
Yeah, plug it.
Northwesterntech.edu. It's the HVAC school that works. And classes start... Oh, did I send you that, Brandon? I think they wanted me to change that date.
Hey,
I believe it's March
looking...
20. I think it's March 27th.
I see. I was going to say.
Don't hold me to that.
On Facebook, all the people who were at the Drew and Mike meetup on Saturday are on there. So,
yes.
Hey, everybody. Oh, Patty was there, too. She wants to know if I was at Kobe's memorial. I did have a big weekend. There's a lot.
Oh, boy. Well, Kobe's memorial, you know, and also there's a Weinstein verdict.
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein verdict.
Yeah.
Guilty on 2 of 5 counts. We'll get to that. And I am not going to have to lose it because, honestly, I was going to fucking lose it today.
If they said,
yeah, let's then go home to mommy and get his affairs together.
Right.
Which they do when it's somebody famous, it seems, or somebody with a lot of money.
Cause.
They do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause. And my opinion is, what? You mean to tell me they've done nothing to get their affairs in order until the day after the verdict? Really? They can't be asked to do that before the verdict? So their attorney can just push a couple buttons or make a couple calls and it's all done? Why would you not have that in order before a verdict? The average Joe doesn't get that privilege.
No, they don't. No, you're expected to,
Trudy, if you're about to be convicted of going to jail, prison for 5 years, wouldn't you give some thought to it instead of going, oh, I'm guilty. Oh, my God, I don't have my affairs in order.
That's right. Lock her up.
I'd just go.
Well, you wouldn't care.
I think I'd care.
Who fucking cares?
Prison rules.
My affairs are prison.
I couldn't use that as an excuse if it were just me. If it's Harvey Weinstein, you can.
No, yeah. I couldn't either because obviously he's had tons of time.
Like he didn't see it coming.
So did he?
Exactly.
Did he get 2 or did he get 3?
2 counts.
2 counts. And
one of them,
3 were dropped.
Yes. One of them is 25 years. One of them is 5 years. So I don't know what he's going to get, but he's facing charges in Los Angeles too. So good luck.
Ryan Lindhurst said that they walked him out without his walker. Did they?
Yeah, it looked like they did, and they did cuff him, and they took him to Rikers Island.
Wow.
Rikers Island.
Wow.
That is the
food and penis.
That is the worst place. I mean, that's incredible. What great karma that is.
That is.
Rikers Island.
What happened to where they were keeping Epstein, though? Did they have that all filled up? No room there? Or
that's a horse bleep place, too. Boy, they sure have some shitbag prisons in New York.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself.
Harvey, you may want to be in touch with the folks at GrowGreen, where they buy in bulk and pass their savings on to you. You might want to mellow out a bit. The growers, with insane deals like Pro Mix bales for $22, bags of Ocean Forest for $10, gallons of Advanced Nutrients Big Bud, normally $149, now only $79. Mention the podcast for a free Grown in Michigan shirt with any purchase. Did you know the average price for an ounce of flower at a Michigan rec dispensary is $512? That's insane!
What? Really?
Start growing your own, save thousands of dollars a year. The experts at GrowGreen, who consult on some of the largest grows in the state, can help you set up your own home grow. It's fun and easy with the guidance of these pros. They're not the stoners in a hydro store.
And that green thing today was enough.
They're not all stoners in the hydro store.
GrowGreen, you know, stoners actually in a hydro store, I would think they would know a shit ton of stuff.
They do.
And they would love telling you about it.
But I'm going to get a little high.
Focused.
It's a cut above that. GrowGreen's on M36 in Whitmore Lake, online at growgreenmi.com. So there you go. And, okay, I'm going to get to the Kobe thing in just a second. But first I want to mention.
Kobe.
Have we heard of Kobe yet? Have you cranked a Kobe?
I put one in. I can slam Kobe all day long.
Kobe!
There might
Kobe!
Be.
Kobe!
There's the bachelor girl, Victoria.
Rest in peace, Mamba.
The Bachelor was trending.
Really? Oh, I did say it was trending.
Twitter.
What for?
Because the three girls who are supposed to get nailed in the fantasy suites, one of whom's a virgin and is going to dump him if he bags either of the other ones.
Really?
The three girls are all staying together during the fantasy suite.
So he's having a foursome?
No. They're all staying together. When they're not with him,
They're
together.
Oh, so they fight with
each other.
So
they tell
each other.
On each other, I think. I mean, why else would they? They're just
pretty
trying
soon,
to.
Pretty soon, I bet they'll all be swinging together.
Yep, yeah.
Well, they're just stirring up
sure.
shit.
Sure, yeah. Well,
I'm here for the gangbang.
2020 in 2020 with Dr. Yaldo. No glasses, no contacts. Truth is, no reading glasses either. The only way to opt for a safe, painless, and brief procedure at the Aldo Eye Center. Well, that's the only way to get there. For 2 years now, people have told us how easy it's been. You call the number at your convenience, get a free evaluation. Dr. Yaldo examines your eyes and determines, yes, LASIK, or yes, multifocal lens implants, or, you know, you got to wait a while. You got some changing to do. And then they send you over to the frames. They got great frames, sunglasses, contacts, anything you might need there. So if you want the gift of great vision, and this is one of those things that it seems like it costs a lot of money, but glasses and contacts and sunglasses do cost a lot of money. I mean, prescription sunglasses.
I'm shocked at how expensive they are now.
Yeah, if you want good ones.
Right.
So make the call and understand we'll be required to rid you of glasses, contacts, and reading glasses. 800-398-EYES, 800-398-EYES, or go to thealdoeyecenter.com.
Right.
Okay, so Kobe.
Welcome back from commercials.
Thank you. The Kobe celebration of life. It started out with Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah, he was crying.
And I knew.
Surprise.
I'm like, there's no way he makes it through this without crying. No way.
I'm honored to have been asked to speak here. I don't think any of us could have imagined this. Everywhere you go, you see his face, his number. Gigi's face, Gigi's number.
Oh, my God.
Everywhere, at every intersection.
He's a crier.
There are hundreds of murals painted by artists who were inspired, not because he is a basketball player, but because Kobe was an artist, too. And not just in L.A., across the country, in Kobe's hometown.
He did settle down.
Philadelphia.
Did a nice
Italy,
job.
In India, the Philippines, China, New York, Phoenix, Boston, for God's sake. In places where he would be booed on the court, Kobe is missed. Even the great Boston Celtic Bill Russell wore number 24 and a Lakers jersey to yesterday's game.
They had brilliant production on this. They went, I mean, the camera's right on Bill Russell when he said that.
Yeah, they cut to him right when he said that, and Bill Russell looks to the person next to him and says, what do you say? So Bill Russell kind of missed his shout out, but
there was another Bill Russell moment too, and I thought, wow, the production, they have somebody up that in that control room who's really amazing.
It was brilliant. I got to tell you, it was really, really good. Yeah. And, you know, starting with Jimmy Kimmel, then this is the part that I really had a hard time watching, Vanessa Bryant, and I knew, I was like, oh God, to even see her is, oh, you just feel, because she lost her daughter too. God. And it's one of those things where, you know, it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you have. You lose your child, you know, what good does it do you? And she talked about Gigi. Actually, she talked about her first. She went on and on, and I thought she gave a great speech. She never broke down, did she, Brandon?
No, she sounded, you know, obviously she's had a month, but a month's not easy. And she really spoke well.
God knew they couldn't be on this earth without each other.
Kobe and Gigi?
He had to bring them home to heaven together.
Yeah.
Babe, you take care of our Gigi.
Ah, jeez.
And I got Nani, Bibi, and Coco. We're still the best team.
Oh, great.
Whew. You know what? I fast-forwarded through the Kobe part. I didn't even see that. Because the Gigi part was so hard to watch, and I was so blown away. I did have some Dreamweaver moments in this thing, I regret to say.
Oh, what were
but
they?
But that was because I felt bad. I mean, I really was like, oh, God, I don't know if I can watch you talk about Kobe. So it went on there to two WNBA players, and that was, Brandon, am I the only one who was Dreamweavering away? And it's not because they're in the WNBA. I just didn't know them. I've heard so much about Kobe the last month that I just, it needed to be something kind of big. Yeah. I mean, they were showing highlights, and I'm like, highlight? God, I've seen so many highlights of this guy. And I'm not knocking it. If people want to see it, that's fine.
Yeah, the first two women that spoke, I didn't know who they were. One of them was the White Mamba, apparently. Those two girls, I didn't really watch too much. The head coach of UConn
came pretty
out.
Good.
Yeah, he had some nice words. You really kind of paid attention to when Shaq came out, to when Jordan came out.
Absolutely. No, they were, and they were really good.
Yeah, star power.
Rob Pelinka was after that. Oh, my God, was that a Dreamweaver? Brandon, well, did you watch it?
Rob Pelinka really made it known that he was Kobe Bryant's best friend, not you.
Yeah, I...
It was all about him?
I thought he made it a little bit about him. A little bit.
I was in Sunday church with my family. My phone was deep in the pocket of my jeans when I felt the familiar text buzz. For a second, I ignored the notification because I was in church. But for some reason, with this text, I felt a sudden urge to check my phone. I slipped it out of my jeans and discovered the text was from Kobe. There was nothing uncharacteristic or unfamiliar about this. For the last two decades, Kobe and I talked or texted every single day. Because
really?
That's what best friends do.
Kobe!
Everything.
In that moment, my instincts were to put the phone down and get back to the preacher's sermon. But a gentle, otherworldly nudge compelled me to open
day.
The text, so I did.
Didn't they have business? Too?
I quickly saw that Kobe was asking me if I happened to know a certain baseball agent based in Southern California. Since Kobe's question didn't have any urgency to do it, I decided I'd wait until after church to respond.
Take
but
your
then
time.
Again,
who's that dude?
A gentle nudge. I grabbed my phone and text Kobe back that I had seen the baseball agent at a Lakers game just the other night and was happy to help him with whatever he wanted.
And then?
It was just past 9:30.
Oh, boy.
Kobe texts back explaining his desire to help a friend of his secure a baseball agency internship for one of his young daughters. Kobe vouched for the girl's character, intellect, and work ethic. He clearly wanted to champion a bright future for her.
Trudy, Dreamweaver?
I text Kobe right back.
Well, basically, he's telling the story about how he was the last one to talk to Kobe via text because
he's
and
his
Kobe
best friend.
Our best friends.
They
so
talked
to go
every day.
Every message up to that point.
Right. So, at the last text message Kobe sent right before the crash, he was trying to help someone else.
Yeah,
I get it.
That was the point.
All right. Okay, dude.
But I thought it was a. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stories like that.
You know what? Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're thinking of ways that they could edit and you're not paying attention to what they're saying? You're just thinking, you could have got to this point earlier by taking all
I
that
do it
out.
All the time. It's actually becoming a bit of a burden for me.
You take forever to say nothing.
So, Palenka, and I'm sure they were great friends. And
of course.
Wonderful speech. Little Dreamweaver moment or
they
two.
They worked together for a long, long time.
Yeah, they texted every day. Then Alicia Keys, the world's nicest person, played, and she was, I don't know, wasn't that an instrumental, Brandon?
Well, she had a false start because...
It's the Grammys!
Ooh, no, it wasn't
not, did she? Wow. And Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce opened the show. I forgot about that. And she was great.
She was great.
She's great.
Man, is she, this is the shallowest thought of all, she really rocks yellow.
She does rock yellow.
She's really good in yellow.
It's Alicia Keys.
Is this a song that I should know?
I can do that.
Moonlight Sonata.
I mean, shouldn't...
You think this
Moonlight Sonata.
Moonlight Sonata is what he said he learned to play.
Okay, so he liked it. Yeah. Okay, so that's Kobe's song. Okay, and yeah. Nobody nicer to play it.
You see Christina Aguilera's?
Christina Aguilera was... She sang in Italian. Mm-hmm.
Well,
Kobe's roots were in Italy. He was born in Italy.
Oh, true. Yeah, okay.
And Christina Aguilera was fantastic.
She always
I
is.
Knew she would
yeah.
be. Okay, that's great. Thanks.
if you were... If you're the producer of this show, you would have been.
Then they got to, no.
Fade her down.
It was great. Then they got to Michael Jordan, who busted the place up. Mm-hmm. Greg gave a great speech. And then Shaq gave a great speech, and I thought he really put things in perspective for us.
As many of you know, Kobe and I had a very complex relationship throughout the years. But not unlike another leadership duo, John Lennon and Paul McCartney, whose creative rivalry led to some of the greatest music of all time.
It must have been rock.
Oh, boy. Here we
go. Kobe and I pushed one another to play some of the greatest basketball of all time, and I am proud that no other team has accomplished what the three-peat Lakers have done since Shaq and the Kobe Lakers did it.
That was interesting.
I dig Shaq, though. He's
yeah,
really good.
Yeah, I like Shaq, too.
I never knew you were such a Beatles fan.
And he also said that... He told Kobe there's no I in team when teammates complained to him that Kobe wouldn't pass the ball. And Kobe said, I know there's no I, but there's an ME in that motherfucker. And that went out. I mean, that went out
because
over
everyone. Because we can't cheer for that team.
Oh, good line.
Yeah. Wow. That was funny. And then Christina Aguilera. Then they ran the movie clip of Kobe from his Oscar-winning movie.
Kobe!
Which was great. And
Chappelle
that was,
wasn't there? That's funny.
Who wasn't there?
Chappelle. I would have thought he would have been there.
I don't know if he was. I didn't.
Is there room for a comedian?
I don't know. It was too heavy, I think. Yeah. But I thought it was really good. It was 2.5 hours. I was expecting six at least. There were no politicians. None.
Good.
And that's, you know, I think that's what makes these things go on and on and on half
yes.
the time, isn't it?
Right.
Because there are people trying to weasel in. And I don't think they allowed any weasels in there. They got exactly who they wanted.
Was the worst one Pat Tillman's?
Oh.
Pat Tillman's funeral? When
because
that
I saw
one was
that.
Nationally televised, I believe. And I remember John McCain and a few other politicians were up there, and his brothers were pissed. His brothers were angry.
Oh, that's right. Yes, I do remember that. That's the part I remember. I don't really remember the funeral. I don't think I watched it. But, you know, we were trying to, Brandon was looking up, you know, what's the most watched funeral or what's the biggest funeral ever? And it turns out, internationally speaking, it's Diana mm-hmm. and Michael Jackson.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, this one.
Diana had Elton.
Yeah, she did. No, that was a weird thing. And you know what? Diana was 36 and she was killed in a car crash. So she had the same element as Kobe Bryant.
Right.
You know, then you have JFK, who, you know, had his head blown up. He was 46. That was certainly one of the biggest.
Yeah.
I'll have you give us the order in a minute, Brandon. Then JFK Jr. was 39.
I don't remember his...
Plane crash?
I remember the plane crash, obviously, but not his funeral.
I don't think I remember it either. I don't think that was... I don't know. Elvis was 42, mm-hmm. and he drugged himself to death, fell off the toilet, hit his head. That was a monstrous thing.
You don't feel very much when you're on the stuff.
It was 1977, though, and, you know, it just, we didn't have, you know, things didn't go everywhere. We didn't have round-the-clock cable news coverage, or it would have been one of the biggest.
Yeah.
And I think John Lennon also, who was, you know, it's interesting. Kobe's 41, Elvis is 42, Lennon was 40. Diana was 36, Jackson was 50, JFK was 46. They're all in that range where it's like, oh, man, that's way too young. And Lennon was shot. He was murdered by a fan.
Not his fault either. None of his.
No.
Like,
hell no.
It wasn't like drugs or falling off the toilet.
No, he signed an album for the guy 6 hours earlier.
A kind
that
of
gesture.
That
fat fuck.
Dick.
So what is the order of funerals according to?
Well, they really kind of break it down into the three funerals that were watched by the most people. Okay. Number one.
I don't think Lennon had a funeral, by the way. I don't remember.
Well, there were people
Lennon.
In the streets of New York.
And that was all everywhere. You could see it.
That's right. In London and in the UK, too, right?
Yeah, it was all over the place. So Strawberry Fields, which.
In NYC. Uh-huh.
So a lot of people watch Princess Diana's 2.5 billion worldwide.
It's like half the world. Probably more then.
Huh. Number two, because he was also worldwide, Michael Jackson. And they said numbers could be up as high as 2.5 billion.
Okay.
But then it really drops off because then you just get the next one that's the highest in the U.S. market. And that was Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan.
You know, that was a great service.
Ronald Reagan.
I remember watching that and I couldn't stop watching and I didn't know why because I'm not like a Reagan, I don't need to get a room with Reagan. I think he was a pretty good president. He certainly, from a PR standpoint,
it was.
He understood that part of the business better than anyone, maybe ever.
Big fan of Reaganomics, were you?
Well, no, not really. Although, you know what? When Carter ended and Reagan started, things were in terrible shape. When Reagan ended, things were a lot better. But
Ronald Reagan!
You know, I'm not sure it's all his... I don't really want to get into that.
A state funeral, though, is kind of a different thing. And in some ways, I almost felt like I had to watch those. You know, that I thought it was important as a citizen to watch those kinds of things.
You were so civic-minded.
Well, there's news value of that kind of thing, too. So.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So then, coronavirus we talked about. Harvey Weinstein, two counts out of five. And the judge, and I think his defense team was really surprised by this.
They did look pretty surprised.
They cuffed him and took him away.
That's so cool. Excellent.
So cool. And I cannot imagine. I would just assume he would kill himself.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah. What is, I guess he has a lot of money if he can just get out and spend it.
He thinks, well, he's going to appeal. So, yeah.
He's got money to appeal. He's got money to have good lawyers to appeal.
Right. All the victims should have stood by as he walked out and said bye.
But he's also got a couple cases in L.A. here. So if he's facing up to 20, up to what?
He's not done.
Up
facing
to,
29
up to 30
years.
Now. Yeah, up to 30 now. With whatever happens in L.A., that can tack on a few years. You never really fully know. Plus, his appeals is going to be a pain in the ass because he won't just have to appeal this one. He'll have to appeal L.A. So he's got work cut out for him. I really think that he's going to fight this L.A. If he can win L.A., he only has one appeal and he might be able to get out of this prison sentence.
I don't know. I think he's done. I really do. I think it's over.
This is a horrible thought. Do you think he raped anybody while he was
waiting for this trial?
Waiting for the trial.
Great point.
I thought.
No, he has no roles to give out. He doesn't, because no one would have ever even been in the orbit of Harvey Weinstein if he didn't have what he had.
Well, and also that Nygaard creep. I just saw him on Access, and he's walking in with some giant cape, and oh my God, that guy is ugly as hell.
Wait, that's a fashion guy, right?
He's the fashion mogul who had the island, just like Epstein, and he brought young girls there and got him drunk.
Is he in his 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the one, I think.
He's hideous.
He's awful. I think I saw a picture of him with a bunch of like 15, I don't know how old they were. They looked like teenagers dancing in front of him in bikinis, and he's just sitting there like, hello, I got the wheel by the balls.
Like Jabba the Hutt.
I just don't get it. Why people want to have sex with people that don't want to have sex with them. I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't get it. I guess it's just power. I mean, they always say rape is not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime.
Fat men, white men, old men, young men, just long they got money and crack cocaine, I have mine every day.
I was reading the article about him, and they were like, after a while, they started saying to him, hey, you know, there are poor, hot girls that you can hit on. You don't have to hit on, you know, girls that are expensive to invite to things that will cost you a lot of money. Just hit up poor girls who are good looking.
Makes sense to me.
Horrible agent came up with that. Nice.
Well, I have to say, you have to credit Miriam Haley and Jessica Mann, both of whom endured brutal, brutal cross-examinations.
Yeah.
And Annabelle Sciorra, Lauren Young, is it Tara Lee Wolf? Mm-hmm. Dawn Dunning, the four girls that also testified. That took a lot of guts to do that. Yeah. And they do. They pound them. And that cross-examination is incredible. And the one thing that I think is most interesting about the Weinstein case is it has left possibly a legacy of this is often how people will behave after their rape. They will go back to their rapist, and they will even so much as have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a really... Wow, it's just
ridiculous thought.
It seems ridiculous, but it. I think they're trying to suggest that it's normal. And I don't know if I'm buying that it's normal. I just don't know. Maybe it is. Who am I to say?
There are different levels of that too. Like you'll go back after. You know, like if somebody at your workplace and you still have to work there.
Yep. There are a lot of reasons that people do that, and I understand that. And I guess one of the reasons is that they want to fix it. They want to, you know, that was horrible. I want to have some experience with this person that doesn't end that way. Really odd.
Yeah.
But it seems that it happens, and the jury believe that it happens. So there you go. Trudy, it seems like a million degrees in here.
Oh, no.
I don't know why. But is that the new Bentley copy? The new Zot copy in there?
I printed everything you gave me out here.
All right. I'm
sweating through my clothes. It's this damn climate.
Why am I the only one that's hot? Why is none?
Because there's
working
theories,
harder.
And we might find out one of these theories on the upcoming Boner Line today of what you're doing whenever you're really hot and have to turn it down.
Please.
Are you under a vent maybe? Maybe it's warmer over there because there's a vent.
No, I don't know. No idea.
Did you work out today? Did you get hot?
You know,
yeah, maybe that's it. You're hotter.
I will address the other part, though. We've never done shows where you could not get up and stretch out for 2.5 hours. 3 hours in one case. We had 8-minute commercial breaks every half an hour.
He's a sleepy guy.
And sometimes we'd talk for a long, long time, and you'd have to make it up. But you did have that break where you could do something. I would say it's much harder to do something without ever taking a break.
No, I agree with you. I was listening to somebody's podcast the other day, though, and the first 15 minutes of the show...
Was commercials?
Commercials.
Well, that's not
forward instantly past all that, and it was Mark Maron, too.
That's not doing anything for the advertiser.
Good luck with the podcast.
No.
Because people figure it out, and they just fast-forward through it. And we don't have that luxury, because podcasting is a new thing to advertise, so you have to somehow do a job for people, or they're not gonna keep spending money on your show.
Well, plus, we like the guys that advertise, and
well, of course, we like them. We like that they pay us. It's really nice of them. We better like them.
They're friends.
It's really worked out very well. But you could ram them all together and just read them back to back to back to back to back.
Ugh. Man.
And then you don't have to, I wonder if it isn't in Mark Maron's case. Maybe he doesn't have time to reread the commercials over and over. Mm. So they just record them and they just bang them at the beginning?
I don't know.
Not us, though. We have a close personal relationship with our advertisers.
Because that's what best friends do.
Exactly.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. All right, I'm turning the temperature down.
Okay. All kinds of good news flowing out of one of our original podcast sponsors who we love, Zot Ford in Holly and DealsInTheD.com. One Bentley slump has been busted, so perhaps he'll be getting off his mom's cell phone plan sooner than later. And number two, the official Drew and Mike dinner and signed T-shirt are still in full effect. Simply buy or lease a new or pre-loved car, truck, or SUV from Jim Bentley at Zot Ford, and you're guaranteed a spot for a delicious dinner at Mesa Tacos and Tequila. This opportunity ends March 16th, so don't pull a Drew and drag your feet. What is that about? Three big news. At Zot Ford, there is no need to wait for your tax returns if you want your cash right now. Simply go to a sweet new Ford, and Gabara and the team will toss up to $10,000 cash in your pocket.
Boom.
On select new vehicles, feel free to hit rewind because you heard that right. The nut jobs at Zot Ford are going to give you up to $10,000 cash to match your tax returns when you get a new vehicle from cell phone FIFA master Jim Bentley. Surf their silly deals and massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. And don't bother calling Bentley. Just go to Holly. Get your ass out there.
Wow. And so they're so the big, big, big prize is to be able to go and hang out at Mesa with us. And we're going to eat a lot of food?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Definitely.
What a stupid present.
By the way, thanks to the appetizers that you just sent. And Matt provided some margaritas.
I didn't do anything.
At the Mesa event.
Matt did it. Whatever's done. I didn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. No, it's all Matt.
Well, you got credit for half of it.
Good.
So. Dr. Roche's office, it's still February, so the February Valentine specials are still in effect, and that includes breast surgery specials, boobs, 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 and more boobs. Augmentation, $500 off.
Lifted boobs, too.
Yeah.
Lifted boobs, reshaped boobs, new implants, fixing bad implant. I mean, they do it all.
Absolutely. And
big titties.
Those, too.
Liposuction, if you're at the gym, like I was at the gym yesterday trying to work part of my ass off, why go through all the bother?
Two
areas of liposuction, get one area for free, and you can get your Valentine, or now just, you know, somebody that you want to be in shape for cruise season, or yourself, a gift certificate, and you can receive a free microderm abrasion treatment. That's $100 value, along with a gift that you purchased from Dr. Roche's office. Do it all. And see them at DRROCHE.com. That's where you see all the procedures, the before and afters, and what you can get done if you're looking at yourself and you have like dark circles and saggy eyelids and all that stuff. Plus, you can call them for a consultation at 248-338-1110.
Hey, Tuesday's Pachki Day.
Pachki Day.
Pachki Day.
Pachki Day.
Pachki?
Where are you Pachki from? Ohio?
Yeah.
Ew.
Are we going to get some donuts down here? Should we have a contest?
No, Dingle's dead.
Should we eat as many tries?
Yeah, Debbie Dingle, we need to issue a formal complaint to Debbie Dingle because John Dingle delivered us punch keys every year.
Yeah.
And one year when it was like 10 o'clock and we didn't have our punch keys yet, we saw people eating them on Channel 7 and 2. We actually complained.
And they sent them?
They did.
I'm a donut.
Very quickly.
I don't know, though. I suspect maybe they were waylaid down the hall from us.
Was it punchkies or was it just regular donuts where the contest where the guy almost...
No, not that. Those are punchkies.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was a punchkie.
Yeah, that'll never happen again.
It almost took that dude down.
Punchkie eating contest.
I just got my Rolling Stones tickets.
Ooh!
In the mail. Ooh!
Yes, and I paid dearly for them.
Love you, Jagger.
They're actually an old-fashioned ticket form.
I know.
You hardly ever see that.
How about that? Yeah. So... today I was going through my Twitter and people send me direct messages, sometimes good, sometimes not so good, usually good. I'd say that those people are trying to get material to me normally, which is great.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I love about email and DMs on Twitter, etc., is that so many people send these great links, and someone whose name I can't figure out because I was trying to find it. I just can't find it in my DMs. I have so many.
Ooh.
This guy. Yes.
Ooh.
This guy sent me Rage Against the Machine's first concert.
Whoa, really?
From October 23rd, 1991 at Cal State Norwich.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
How is it?
Have you seen it, Brandon?
Yeah.
Did I send it to you?
It's been around for a while.
Oh, it has been around. Yeah, it's got 2 million hits. But I sent it to a couple Rage fans who absolutely raged. They were so excited.
Hang on. Pause it for a second. You can tell this is one of their first shows because the stage is at ground level.
Not only that, but I'm pretty sure the Final Countdown cover guys had more people out front than these guys do.
Yeah,
at least
people,
right now.
This is what's so funny. People, Rage is playing, and they sound good. They sound tight, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
And people walking by with backpacks like, another day at college.
Oh, check out the bass, yeah. It sounds exactly...
There's two people watching.
No, there's a guy in red about 19 minutes, I guess, yeah, about 19 minutes and 30 seconds in, who starts wildly dancing in front of the stage. And it's really funny because people in the comments are saying, who's that guy in the red? He's an early adopter. You know, everybody's blowing this thing up with that one guy, you know, and who does he like now?
Oh, yeah. We should find
tell
out
us the future.
If he's still alive.
About 18, 19 minutes in, they've got a bigger crowd because people are listening and going, hell yeah.
Oh, look, there, yeah,
but the
there's
dude
a buzz.
Dancing is, he is,
there he is
so into them. There he goes.
Oh, look at him.
This guy's wild. He's so into Rage. There he is. He's actually breakdancing, too.
Wow.
What?
Yeah, everybody else is kind of checking it out because it sounds cool, but he is totally immersed.
But don't they sound pretty good?
Oh, they sound great.
For their first gig?
Yeah, you know what? You know what's amazing is seeing them start from having nobody up at the stage, and then 50 minutes later, you fast forward, and look at how many kids are jamming out to them there.
We'll see. Some
people, just him.
Some people couldn't miss it. There's a guy in the red still dancing. Look at that. He just danced out of the picture. Is he going to dance back in?
Well, he's a pioneer.
Yeah, there he is.
There he is. He just came raging back through.
Oh, my God. This is endlessly funny.
It says Rage Against the Machine, first public performance, full concert, HD, does it say?
That's just HQ.
HQ. Okay, so that if you want to find it.
Yeah, you can just Google it. It pops up.
Yeah, I think. Did you know?
I put it in the show notes.
Oh, thank you, Joe. Okay. Yeah, always check show notes.
I want to see the second concert and see whether the red-shirted guy is at that one, too.
I wonder how many early shows they have. That was October 1991.
Wow.
And here we are, a little over 28 years later.
Holy
and
crap.
Look at what havoc this tour has created among fans. And I did see something the other day. There was a big fight on, maybe it was Reddit, about ticket prices.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're against the machine. I thought they were against the man. Why are they charging so much? It's like, oh, come on, really? And then there was somebody who was trying to...
This isn't a spending money contest.
One guy was bitching the loudest because he'd been reduced to buying $225 tickets. And he's saying, but I thought the most expensive ticket was $125. What's going on? And so this guy jumps in, the apologist, and says, those are charity tickets. And after a certain point, all the tickets left are for charity. And people start jumping in saying, yeah, after they make their $125, then they give the money to charity, the next $100. And it's just on and on and on with all this this bickering. And, of course, some people are saying it's a percentage of the $100.
Rage, fucking rage.
But they didn't have to charge $100 extra to give it to charity. They could have given part of their take. Just saying.
Well, they don't play that often, though. They haven't gone on tour in how many years, Brent?
No, this
money.
I don't think $125 is that bad, honestly. It's just that people are taking the mythology a little too seriously.
Yes, you're right.
I mean, it's...
They're awfully preachy. I'll give them that. But I mean...
Well, and if they are, I'm not really... I'm aware of them being preachy. I didn't know they were that preachy. But if they are, then yeah, they got to suffer the consequences.
I'm sure they'll handle it.
I think they'll be okay because they're going to make a lot of money.
You see, Judas Priest announced their tour today, too. 15 years. Oh, my God.
50 years of Priest?
Yeah.
No kidding.
That's insane.
Wow. Well, last night I was reading the Blondie book, which I've had for a while. I think you'd really like this book, by the way, because she is just a cool, cool chick.
I've seen her interview, and she does seem cool.
She's really cool. And she's very real, too. You know, some of these types, you know, they're prima donnas just waiting to really be a prima donna.
Mm, right.
And then some of them
were contrived.
Yeah. She was a New York street kind of girl. You know, CBGBs, the whole path upwards was so, so difficult. And I think she stayed true to that.
I love this song.
I have to say, Rapture is the coolest song. It is so ahead of its time.
Right.
I mean, have someone like her doing something that actually raps. Pretty damn cool.
And Call Me is the one that kind of got most of the radio.
Call Me was a number
airplay.
One. The Tide Is High was number one, too. They had multiple number one hits. And I want to dance like that guy.
And a white tux and hot white top
it's
hat.
Yeah! Really tall black dude with a hot top hat and a fully white suit. And he just jams.
He's like all up in the
God, he boogies.
Eyes.
So after all these number one hits and hits, they had multiple hits. They had, you know, top 10 hits that were number one. They were flat broke in 1981. Flat broke. They'd sold 40 million records and they were completely busted broke. And Chris Stein, who was Blondie's boyfriend and bandmate and really one of the really influential people in the band,
right,
besides her, he was so sick. And do you remember there were a lot of rumors about him?
Oh.
What was wrong with him?
No.
Yeah, he was really sick for about 3 years.
Was this... he had AIDS?
He's got AIDS.
This is before AIDS was really a public thing. But Blondie said that people around New York, you know, which was a gay haven at that time, that people sort of knew what AIDS was. They thought people were already dying of AIDS, and they thought he might have that.
So what was it?
It was a weird virus. I can't remember the name of it.
Pemphigus vulgaris.
Oh, ah.
Yeah, it was,
autoimmune disease.
Oh,
it
boy.
Makes your skin... I can't even describe it. Basically, his throat was a lot of blisters.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, and it just sounded so gross. He couldn't swallow food. And so, you know...
Don't feel good.
They're touring Europe, trying to live up to this contract. And people going, oh, we hear Chris Stein's really sick. And it's like, oh, no, he's fine, Huh. And so Chris Stein is doing heroin to stay, because it numbs a lot of the pain, to keep the band going.
Oh, he's using heroin for the reason it's supposed to be used.
Exactly. That's not how he got into it.
Oh.
And by the way, did you know Blondie did heroin?
I don't know.
I did not know that.
I knew that, no.
I just didn't see that in her. And not that I'm holding it against her. I just didn't know that. Anyway, he ends up finally, she goes to doctor after doctor after doctor. And this is when she's finding out that, oh, we haven't paid taxes in 2 years. Oh, wow. We owe a lot of money.
Oops. Oh, crap.
And we lost our townhouse, you know, in Manhattan.
Oh,
and we're going back to, in fact, there was one time they already had they had millions of record sales and they were still living in a rent controlled apartment.
Really?
Because it hadn't quite filtered down to them yet. It was about to in a big way, but it's just really... I mean, it's hard to believe, because nowadays it seems that when a star is born on YouTube or wherever, the money comes first.
Oh, for sure.
It's like the first thing.
And then they buy a giant house.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you'll do better with the money, but you don't wait.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, she said in the book, and it's something she didn't have to tell us, but I thought it was interesting, that Chris Stein, the entire 3 years it took him to recover from this, it was that bad that he was on heroin the entire time.
Oh.
She procured it for him.
Really?
And got a
cool chick.
Hospital. Yeah.
A cool girlfriend.
And she pointed out, too, that, you know, I was doing it, too. So it wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm anything special. But what else? Oh, she was a big WWF fan.
Hell yeah.
She loved wrestling.
Wow.
Loved it.
Really?
Yeah. I get it.
Andre the Giant.
I get
she
that.
Went,
they were awesome.
She went to them all that she said she and Chris Stein used to watch wrestling on TV all the time. And then they met somebody who got tickets regularly, who would take them to these events, and they'd watch live.
Zooves has been to an event. He's been to wrestling events. Which one? What was the big one you went to? You went to the one with Donald Trump, didn't you?
I went to WrestleMania when Trump was here, and Stone Cold gave him a stunner.
Who won the night?
Well, Trump won because he shaved Vince McMahon's head. They had a match together. So,
yeah.
Silly question.
Right. Whoa. So she was like into the old timey ones or the.
Well, around 1981, 82.
Oh, WWF.
She watched them. She said she liked watching wrestling as a kid. She watched it. She loved wrestling. She just thought.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It was the show.
Yeah.
She loved the show, the good, the bad, you know, the good guy, the bad guy.
They put on a good production. They really do.
There is a lot of showbiz that you can learn from them, I think. Not that. You know, wrestling.
Pyrotechnics, hot dudes with their shirt off. Yeah. Now they got the divas. Oh,
the way they walk, their walk on is really cool. You know,
brilliant. No,
muscly men. You got finisher moves.
Rock.
It's a great show.
The Royal Rumble.
The last thing I'll say, and I haven't finished the book, so you'll probably hear more, but she talks about being on tour with Bowie and Iggy.
Oh, wow.
And I know, which is, by the way, Bowie playing piano and keyboards for Iggy. Iggy is the artist. Bowie's just in the band singing back up and playing. I know, it's bizarre.
What year was that?
78, I believe.
Really?
77, 78, yeah. Bowie had produced The Idiot and Lust for Life.
No kidding. Wow.
Yes.
And that makes sense. That's
wrote a couple songs on there with Iggy.
Kick-ass,
produced.
Kick-ass
so, album. So, yeah. Anyway, she said that they were in some drug haze and that Bowie, because she was the only female on the tour, that Bowie felt the need to show her his huge wiener.
Really?
Now, why does Bowie have to have a huge wiener? Didn't Bowie have enough going for him? I mean, he's the greatest singer. He's a good-looking guy. You know, he's just such a...
He's creative.
He's the most creative person probably ever born, and he's got a huge wiener.
He's got the most perfect dick I've ever seen.
Isn't that bullshit?
And he was so skinny.
Yeah, he was thin. He was thin his whole life.
This guy's wiener is, you know, huge, right?
Wow.
He's the thin white duke.
Oh, maybe that's what that was. I get it now.
Ah.
Wow.
Okay, so, well,
you know,
he
used to hang out around here a little bit.
Bowie?
Now and then.
Or Iggy?
Bowie.
Bowie hung around
because his
Detroit?
His child lived here for a little while.
Oh.
With the...
Zoe Bowie?
No, the chick, the... Girl.
Oh, Iman's kid
because
from earlier marriage?
Her husband was a football player here, right?
Spencer Haywood,
Spencer
no.
Spencer Haywood.
He was a basketball player.
Oh.
Yes. You're close. Close enough.
There's a ball.
Incredible basketball player. Yeah. Well, I'd forgotten about that, too. So, anyway, from Deborah Harry, while I was watching Deborah Harry, I was also watching a documentary on YouTube. And, you know, a lot of times after these things get old, somebody just puts them up and they leave them on there to get views, I guess, because that's better than nobody watching it. And it was called New York 77, The Coolest Year in Hell. And I knew what they meant. They were referring to, you know, Son of Sam was the summer of 77.
Oh, right.
And the movie Summer of Sam, wasn't that about the, or no, Son of Sam or Summer of Sam?
Summer of Sam.
Yeah. Adrian Brody was in it. Or, I mean, DJ Qualls and a lot of other people.
John Leguizamo?
Yeah, Leguizamo is great. That was a great movie.
Spike Lee?
It's fascinating because punk is just really coming out of the woodwork in that summer. So I was fascinated about the music part. Also, they had the blackout in New York where the whole city was blacked out.
Think how scary that would be.
Yeah, everybody who talked about it was saying, yeah, they were kind of freaked out. And then a lot of the guys were saying, you know, how they went wild looting.
Uh-huh.
I'd forgotten about the looting.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought looting was born
in L.A.?
That. Yeah, kind of. I just don't remember it. And, you know, I wasn't really following things as carefully then, so.
Would you loot if you could get away with it? You think?
No, I would think there's a surveillance camera. And
you had to eat. You had to eat, Drew. You have to.
I think about that every once in a while.
Food? Yeah, if I'm broke, sure.
When I'm grocery shopping every once in a while, I walk down these aisles and I go, you know what? If there was, you know, the apocalypse right now, I would just, you know, put my hand out and put all these groceries in. All the non-perishables. I think about that when I'm shopping for some reason.
Yeah, and then run with the shopping cart.
But I don't know. I wouldn't want to loot just to grab, you know, a television or something.
No, I wouldn't loot for that reason. I'd loot if it were survival.
They had trouble even arresting people because there were so many people looting. So they would, you know, they said they threw people in trunks of the police car because they had people in the back seat with TVs in their laps. I mean, it was just madness, totally insane. Whoa. But they did get into what was going on then with, like, Richard Hell and the Voidoids, who, I forget about Richard Hell, and the song Blank Generation. Do you remember that song? It's in a movie, and in fact, I was watching this movie clip last night, going, what movie is this? I want to see this movie. That's the song, but that's not the clip.
Voidoids. Wow. Cool name.
I thought Blank Generation was such a cool name, too, and it made a lot of sense in 77, and I thought Blank Generation seems like one of those things that would catch on, like 15 Minutes of Fame.
Yeah.
In fact... I like how he leaves blank out. Marky Ramone's on drums.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's killing it, too.
I like the guitar sound of this.
Can somebody tell me what movie this is featured in? They show him on stage playing, and... It took me down this whole rabbit hole of Richard Hell and the Voidoids and television and then Johnny Thunders.
Yeah.
Johnny Thunders, there are so many live performances of Johnny Thunders. Who is the most fucked up hot mess probably to ever take a stage? He was in the New York Dolls.
Oh, right.
The New York Dolls are so... Yeah. So many people talk about the New York Dolls and their influence. And then he formed the Heartbreakers with, what's his name, Nolan the drummer. And I think Sylvain in the... Walter Lure, I think is his name.
See how many of these you get.
Anyway.
You can get us Tom Petty.
Was that song in Desperately Seeking Susan? Is that what you're thinking
of? Oh, is that where that was? The Blank Generation?
That makes sense, time period-wise.
Play it. Let me see it.
I don't know. I can't find it yet.
Okay. Jerry Nolan, Walter Lure.
Yeah, Walter
Billy
Lure.
Billy Rathtie Sticks.
Walter Lure is the... I believe he's the last one alive.
They sound like they're all like guys from Brooklyn.
Yeah. And Johnny Thunders was, I was watching all these clips last night. He was so fucked up on stage. You're like, how is he doing? Because he's playing fairly well and he's an interesting player and he sings. He's got a weird voice, but it works somehow. And I'm reading more and more about it. And people are saying that, you know, yeah, people used to go to those shows because they wanted to see if he would die. Because people thought he's going to die on stage. He's such a fucking mess. He's going to die on stage.
Wow.
And somehow it seemed to work for him.
He's still alive, isn't he? Because
Johnny Thunders long gone.
Oh, Johnny Thunders. I thought you meant Richard Hell. Yeah.
Yeah, Richard Hell's alive. He wrote a book just
two or
3 years ago. And I would have thought that they would have reformed. And
Didn't he die?
Hell yeah.
Did he die on the stage people were watching?
No. He died in New Orleans because he met some people. The way they believe this happened was when he was flush with cash, he carried a big wad of cash.
Uh-huh.
And he was, in friends' opinion, very sloppy about showing off the cash. And these guys apparently knew he had a lot of money. They befriended him. They slipped a bunch of acid into... He was sober. He was trying to be completely sober. He had all this methadone. They put him on some... ridiculous trip. They dosed him with tons of acid. Too much.
Oh my God.
He was flipping out and they found all his methadone boxes. He had eaten all of it. Like, 2 months worth or something. So
while tripping?
While tripping.
Oh my
yeah.
God.
It sounded like a miserable
so
way to die.
So it was trying to maybe come down, do you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, I suspect
Holy
he was.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Probably trying to come down or maybe trying to kill himself because he was so fucked up.
Wow.
I mean, that's scary.
Yeah.
But yeah, what a trip.
That's all in Debbie Harry's book?
Yeah, she knows all those people, but you know, honestly, Johnny Thunders, please kill me.
Yeah, that's a good
or
book.
Kill me, please.
Please
I never
kill
get
me.
This right.
No,
please kill me. Oh my God, what a book about punk rock. It's got everything. It's got the Ann Arbor scene. It's got the New York scene. It's got the London scene.
That is a really good book. And they updated it like just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was a little bummed with the update. There weren't enough new pages for me because I bought it. It's a new year. It's a new decade, which means it's time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com's Start Something New event. They've got the 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. Or if you're all about the Jeep Wave, pick up the 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive, around $122 a month. If you really want to step it up, get the new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month. Plus, Zot is your lease turn-in headquarters. Any make, model, miles, body damage, payments remaining, no problem. They'll get you in a new ride for the new year. Check out their deals in their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. Did I send a new copy for them, Brandon? That seems like the same copy I read yesterday. I mean, it seems like it. Maybe I'm wrong.
It's fresh paper. You could
it
tell.
Says January 2020.
See, this is what you don't get from the Mark Maron podcast.
Yeah, Mark usually
is show meetings in the middle.
I thought it was the one that Trudy read.
Deals
well, that's the other dealership.
Four.
I thought I sent two.
I printed out everything you sent me.
Really? Okay. Well, show meeting. I just witnessed a show meeting. A little more rock and roll today. There's a cool story I read about. It was on my Twitter. I think I retweeted it. It's about this shot of Jimi Hendrix doing a show in 1969. It's a great photo.
Yeah.
You see the crowd is standing up, you know. And Jimi Hendrix was absolutely incredible. And there's a little kid that just somehow starts walking in the middle of the stage, as kids do. He's about 3 or 4 years old, and some guy who's taken it upon himself to be the Hendrix Archives went to all the trouble to identify who this kid was. He's alive. He's in his 50s now.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And, of course, he was excited as hell to see himself realize it was him on stage. He had hippie parents and the whole deal.
They were supposed to be the ultimate hippie parents, too. The coolest two people ever, I was reading.
They sounded pretty insane.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was cool. I love that
story. Little kid looked really cool. And then he walked up and he whispered something in Jimmy's ear, right?
Yeah, he and Jimmy did converse.
Nice.
You have the audio of what he whispered? Oh, great.
The password. China.
And then he actually came back a second time and said,
"The password is Dipple."
How cool is that?
That little kid?
To have the audio of the incident. That might have been, it was Hendrix audio possibly?
Yeah, we might have got it from, was it Leon?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, see, the guy who was running the board in the middle of the event probably recorded that, yeah.
Yeah. No, they record through the board. Mm-hmm. Of course they did.
Did you guys talk about ludicrous rock stuff? The John Oates story, I didn't get all the way through.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. It was very brief at the end.
I saw Brandon's prep where it said, John Oates, slut. And we discussed it at the meeting of the Drew and Mike fans Saturday and how no one can imagine why anyone would get with John Oates for any reason.
Well, I think he's suggesting it all happened between, 75 and 94 before his second marriage?
What?
I think, that's not that long, although he's saying thousands of sex partners. What does that mean, 10,000 or two?
Look at him back there. He thinks he's so hot then.
I definitely thought that he thought he was hot.
I had a friend.
He looks like Gary Delabate.
He actually does. Yes. I had a friend who married her husband because in part she was in love with John Oates and thought he looked like him.
Really?
Yes. She's in radio, too. I was like,
yeah, boy.
Whoa. I don't see it.
God, videos were dumb, weren't they?
Yes.
They're all dressed up like Private Eyes with the London Fog overcoat and the...
Was it their concept, do you think, or somebody come up to him and go, okay, now, you're going to be in the coats with the hats and you're...
Well, back then, trench coat meant something different. Nowadays, it's like...
Why, you dress like a school shooter?
You know?
Ah, yes, the trench coat mafia.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know that we... He didn't dish out any names, just... I don't even know why he felt the need to say it.
Yeah, me
Seems
either.
Irrelevant, except that people go, wait, John Oates...
Yeah.
People question it, I think.
Right, for that confused look people get on their face.
Yeah, they didn't. Nobody realized there were that many rock and roll groupie crumbs out there for John Oates.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Trudy.
Oh, Louis Anderson, too. He never mentioned that he was going to host that Eddie Money event in Los Angeles over the weekend, but he was the host of it.
Who played?
Hetty played.
Hetfield?
Hetfield played, and Sammy Hagar was there, and Kevin Cronin.
Oh, okay.
And Rick Springfield and a couple other people.
Yeah, Eddie, I didn't even know there was an event.
Yeah, Eddie Money's memorial didn't get as much as Kobe's.
No. No, it did not.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of entertainment news in the last couple days. I mean, it's hard to even get into it all because of these other things going on. I saw this story today about, well, actually Brandon sent in his prep, about Elon Musk is not having a boy or a girl.
Really?
That his wife is, or his girlfriend, is it Grimes?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's having a they. The child will decide its sex.
Oh.
And, you know, honestly, I really don't care. I mean, it doesn't bother me.
No.
And, you know, chances are it'll be what it is at birth, but maybe it won't be. So, I mean, if they want to do that,
sure.
I don't know. I guess announcing it has impact on other people, so I don't know.
I can't wait till we get to the point where saying that is no longer a thing.
Yeah, and there's been fads like that in Hollywood that sort of come and go, and some that stay, and maybe, who knows.
Doesn't that mess you up, though? I mean...
How do you have your gender reveal?
He likes rockets, and he does good at rockets, too, by the way. I never saw where the engines come down with no wings, no anything, and they're landing. I said, I've never seen that before.
Well, don't kids gravitate towards certain things? I mean, does this mean they're going to give them Barbie dolls and guns for their birthdays?
Everything, just to see. It's going to cost twice as much.
Yeah.
Parent that way.
Is he going to hand out cigars that say, it's a they?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's very. Seems to be the latest fad in Hollywood. There's a Friends reunion that's going to be on HBO Max. And I couldn't be less interested in this, but I guess a lot of people probably will watch it, right?
Well, it's not a reboot. They're not doing new episodes or anything.
Yeah.
Basically, all six of them are getting together in one room.
Or probably getting paid a lot of money, right?
$20 million.
Yeah. Lots of money.
$20 million?
That's what they said the budget was for it. No, the budget for all was $20 million.
So what are they going to do? Just look, you know, talk about, hey, wasn't it fun when we did that show?
Yes, exactly.
Ellen is moderating, and they're going to sit around and talk about the shows and then show clips.
She's going to have a lot of cushions.
You know what? Oh, yeah.
Jennifer Aniston's looking great.
That reminds me. Last week I saw, I think it was on Friday, because we didn't get to talk about it, that, remember the whole thing with Snoop, that we're coming for you, bitch?
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, that was the nastiest thing. And he apologized and was like, no big deal. Which I thought.
How dare you try to tarnish my motherfucking homeboy's reputation, punk motherfucker?
It was over.
He and Martha Stewart hosted the Ellen Show last week.
Oh, I saw bits and pieces of it. Yeah.
I mean, is that surprise you a little bit?
Too soon?
After that? Well, I don't know. I don't know. I just, it's so strange to me how different
Funky
things.
Fucking dog head, bitch.
It was really brutal.
It was.
It was threatening. It was absolutely threatening. He says it wasn't, but it was. So, you know, I saw a commercial with him and Martha Stewart, and I thought, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd be running that. And then I found out they hosted an Ellen show. And I was like, oh, okay, so that's the nice Snoop. And,
yeah.
You know.
Right.
It just seems strange to me.
I watched a tiny bit of it. I thought it was pretty awkward, you know? Like, there's some things that Snoop does that I think are really funny. Like that animal plazanet that he does for Kimmel. Mm-hmm. But this seemed really weird. And, you know.
Respect the family and back off.
I think I kind of felt like he was feeling the weight of it at that point. And
maybe
it
was
awkward.
I didn't really wasn't aware of a lot of people giving him a bad time about it. In fact, he had people supporting him, which I thought was bizarre. But people will support anything now. Anything. Yeah. In fact, I saw Jesse Smollett going to court today because the city of Chicago is suing him. And he has an entourage of, and I quote, supporters.
What?
I'm thinking, who is going to support? Why would somebody? That's just a weird person to support, unless you're in his family, which I know his sister was there. Journey Smollett.
Why are you piling on there? No way.
You would think that the prosecution would be chanting that. No, that's Jesse Smollett's supporters chanting.
The actor that nobody ever heard of.
What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. Dumb chant, first of all. But second of all, why would he support justice? What justice are we talking about?
Yeah,
he's the big fat liar.
No, the white MAGA hat wearing guy, he's the one who's still out there. He has to be, because he claims that this story is still true to this day.
Yes, he but you know what? The story's changed. This is what they believe his testimony is going to be. That he was assaulted by the Ascendario brothers. That they planned to assault him and did assault him. And he didn't know it was them.
Great lawyer.
What?
How ridiculous is that?
He got taken out by MAGA country. I said, what the hell was that?
But wait a minute. He wrote a check. Did he write that check before
but
after?
That check was just for working out.
That was for training.
True.
That was for training.
That's just for working out.
That's for training.
Oh, you have to sort of compartmentalize. Is that it?
Yeah, if you're his defense team, you do.
What's the motivation between these two guys wanting to actually go through it and attack this guy?
None.
In MAGA garb.
There's no motivation except that he's going to give them money and they're his friends.
Yeah. They have no reason to do this.
No, yeah. Of course not.
They're not going to benefit from it. In fact, if he gets hurt.
They're going to hide at 2 o'clock in the morning on a freezing cold morning to assault Jesse Smollett.
Yeah, they're like, hey,
no,
hey,
it's
hey,
Jesse, ridiculous.
Jesse just landed. I know at 2:30 every morning he gets a Subway sandwich. Let's go now.
I know somewhere in there someone said, Jesse who?
Yeah, they're going to.
I didn't know who he was up until the point where any of this happened.
I would think any testimony like that will just be smothered by the prosecution. But yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I don't know anything anymore.
I'm on Team Chicago in this one.
Amen.
I'll steal the gay Tupac.
And then Pete Davidson today. I was reading. Somebody sent me this on Twitter, too, in a DM. It was a story about him talking about how he thinks he's outgrown Saturday Night Live. And he also says, and I didn't realize he's been on there since 2014.
Yeah.
So this is sixth season.
That yeah. Seems,
doesn't it seem like, I don't know. I don't feel like he's been on that long.
It doesn't seem that long, especially when you look at some of the greats at SNL and then you realize, oh, wow, they were only on for 5-6 seasons.
Yeah, he hasn't done much. And probably the first 2 years he did very, very little.
Meanwhile, Keenan's been there for like 32 years. But.
So
we love Keenan.
He goes on to say that they think I'm dumb. I'm painted out to be this big, dumb idiot. And he means the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know
why,
how that
how
goes.
Is he always a victim? How is it? How does he somehow paint himself as the victim always?
I love you, Peter.
Whether it's the people going to see him doing stand-up, the owners of the clubs who say things they're not supposed to say and he has to walk out, to the people that joke about mental health, even though he can joke about it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about my relationships, but I'm going to date the most famous people in the entire world.
And use it for a bit on Saturday Night Live, which he did. And he has a Netflix special. And I was like, wow, he has a Netflix special?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wonder what,
is he really, I mean, seems like.
He's big.
Yeah, he is big.
He's big.
And I think a lot of it is because of the people he does date. Ariana Grande.
But his stand-up is what got him the original gig at SNL.
Yeah.
His stand-up has been pretty, the early stuff pretty good. I haven't listened to his latest things because no one leaks it because you're not allowed to bring a cell phone in.
He's sued for $1 million if you leak anything from his shows.
Right.
You have to sign a waiver.
I haven't even heard anybody talk about the show because they're too afraid to get sued. Yeah.
You can't.
For discussing it.
That's what I mean. This guy is just on, what planet is he on? Jesus. So, yeah, there's that.
You, that's all you care about.
And yeah, who knows? Maybe the Netflix special will do really good.
I'm sure it will. It'll get a lot of eyes, even though the teaser that they threw out there, I didn't think was very funny. I'll have to look for it, but he's talking about gay friends, and he's basically saying, I like hanging out with the gay guys because they're not into me. I don't know. I'll have to find it.
To figure out the math of that, Joe. Mm-hmm. Get back to you.
And then one final thing from rock and roll is Ozzy is talking about his new album. In spite of the tours being canceled, The album is out, and it's his first album he has made sober, completely sober.
Yeah.
So, boy, wouldn't that be a shame if it bombed?
It's not, though.
No.
People like it.
I wouldn't think
so. And it's good.
Is it good? I have not heard it at all.
I've heard a couple of, and he's got Chad Smith on it, which is a good thing.
Oh, for sure.
Slash is on with him.
What,
Post Malone.
Do we have a track?
El Tone.
A new Ozzy track?
I'm looking for it.
And then he has Aquaman doing a teaser for one of his songs on the album. Scary Little Green Men.
Playing this, is everybody playing this? I would assume they are.
On this
like
one?
The riffs and the CS.
Oh,
CSX wouldn't play it, I guess.
No.
Is Wheels playing it? Not that you know.
No.
It's too new.
Yeah. New classic rock.
A new generation of classic.
New generation of classic rock as well.
No,
we're not. We haven't. I
always thought classic rock stations would play their artists when they did something new.
That but actually is something that I wish would happen.
It seems to almost never happen. But anyway.
Oh, you're right there.
Ozzy, that sounds good.
And I'm going to definitely check out this because he works with so many different people on this 11-track album.
Yeah.
It's called Ordinary Man. It's got stuff from Duff McKagan's on a bunch of tracks. Chad Smith,
Duff.
Like you said, Slash, like you said. Elton John is on a track. Tom Morello is on two tracks. Post Malone on two tracks, along with Tom Morello. So,
wow.
Travis Scott's in there, too. So he's collaborating with a lot of people. Hopefully some of the songs are good.
Yeah. That's a good thing to do, I mean, when you're Ozzy. Plus, they have this this little contest inside. If you get a physical album, you can have lunch or dinner with Ozzy and Sharon.
Oh, really? Everybody that buys an album has dinner with Ozzy and Sharon?
No, you got to win it. But.
Okay. You know, I just brought up one of my news sources, and this stupid thing popped. Just as I was done with Pete Davidson, it's a picture of him wearing a Knicks shirt, and says, the quote is, "I just want to have a kid. Pete reveals plans to adopt."
Oh, don't know.
Doesn't that seem like a terrible idea?
It is a terrible idea. No. You're kidding.
I don't think he.
I mean,
yeah, father, come
right now.
On.
Yeah, I don't know why is this. I guess it's clickbait. Maybe I'm a victim of clickbait.
Here's a quick trailer of his upcoming Netflix comedy special, Alive.
Okay.
From New York.
I have a lot of gay friends. I like my gay friends because I don't think there's like a more honest relationship between like a gay dude and a straight dude because there's just like nothing to gain, you know. So it's just pure honesty.
Wait, what about straight dude and a straight dude? All right.
But there's always one gay friend that I don't think is fucking gay at all. Girls laugh. Every guy's like, yeah, Kyle. It's that gay dude that'll like run up on your girlfriend and like squeeze her boobs and like slap her ass and be like, damn, girl, you look great. Uh-huh. I don't find that fucking funny, like at all. I'm sorry. Like, I'm all for the gayness. You know, it doesn't mean I'm against gayness. It's just like you just get to slap ass on a technicality. That's not fucking fair at all. Right in front of you. Walk up, slap the ass, giggle, you know? Just because he could. I would never do that just because I could. You know? I wouldn't, like, walk up to his boyfriend and, like, tug his dick and be like, nice, Gary. Not for me, but cool.
I mean, that was a decent joke, but his delivery is just... He just seems like an asshole.
Yeah. He does have quite the taint of asshole.
Yeah, I'm over him. I mean, have to do something really, really good for me to like it, I guess.
Maybe he'll flip me. Kevin Hart did. I used to hate Kevin Hart, and, you know, in the last year or two, I've come around, and I like Kevin Hart now. So maybe this guy can actually do it, too.
Does it seem like it's a bad idea to have your whole trailer with a bunch of gay stuff?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. I don't think it's up to him what the trailer is. I'm sure that's Netflix putting that out.
It's kind of strange, though, isn't it?
Oh, can't he have a tantrum and make them put out what he wants to?
I want the pulling wiener joke!
I don't object to any of the jokes, but it just seems like you would want to show that the show has some breadth.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yeah, put a couple of different punchlines in there. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he's that funny.
Yeah, I don't either. And maybe it's if you're 25, you know, and you like to laugh because you looked at him. Because he is kind of a goofball.
Yeah, I'm expecting SNL to say, all right, see ya. Get out of here. We'll move on.
That reminds me, I don't know if Brandon sent it to me. It's the story about Gen Z again and how the workplace is supposed to adjust to Gen Z. That companies are hiring generational consultants because for the first time we have five generations in the office at once.
Oh.
How long is Gen Z's attention span? This is a very short 8 seconds.
It sounds a smidgen interesting to me until I read about it, and then it seems like this is so stupid. This is just more consultants sucking up more money away from the people that are actually working.
Exactly.
Because people pay consultants ridiculous sums of money for the most pedestrian advice. I mean, honestly, they do.
Yeah.
And this is so a Gen Z consultant. First of all, they're only 22 years old. How much do we really know about them in the workplace?
Gen Z, born 1995 to 2012. And yet, for some reason, no one is paying attention to us.
they're paying the proper attention, which is not that much.
Right.
Because you're 20 fucking five at the oldest. So, okay.
No, I mean, isn't the workplace, you know, kind of a survival of the fittest sort of a stage anyway?
Where it is.
If you do a good job and you work and you fulfill your obligation. Do you?
I must be really old because that's the way I see it.
Yeah, but working's one thing. It's all about where you're sitting.
35% of Gen Z would rather share socks than an office space.
And I'm not saying that a workplace should not be in tune with its workers, but this idea that here comes Gen Z, got to fix the workplace up. It's just an arbitrary date that was put on Gen Z. They were born in 1995. That's not a fact. That's a guess, or it's some dividing point that was made
arbitrarily.
For whatever. Yeah, it's arbitrary. Right. It's not real. On your first day at a new job, do you A, drink and ensure and hang up photos of your grandchildren while sitting quietly at your desk awaiting instruction? B, arrive at work before the boss in order to make a good impression, but have difficulty figuring out how to turn on your computer? C, wear a Sonic Youth t-shirt under your suit, kicking yourself for working for the man? D, send a picture of your new participation trophies to the group text, or E, FaceTime in from your couch while recording the meeting to upload to TikTok later. Your response will help your workplace determine which generation you're from, what sort of worker you might be, and how to get you in the door at the company.
Stupid question.
Then they talk about the five distinct generations. And they include, by the way, the greatest generation. 4% of Americans age 85 or older are still working. Is that really a... Yeah.
Walmart greeters, baby. No, there's a lot of people that work right. They have to work right up until they die. Unfortunately, for monetary reasons, and sometimes because they don't want to sit at home.
Or they've outlived their net worth.
Yeah. A lot of people fear that. They fear that, hey, if I retire and I go home, I'm just going to drop dead.
Growing up after or through the Great Depression and World War II made traditionalists comfortable with sacrifice, hard work, rules, and authority. Baby boomers were likely to privilege their careers above all else.
Okay, boomer.
Is privilege? What is it? What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Competing for the big title in the corner office, leaving their personal lives at the door. Next came the 65 million people in Generation X, latchkey kids who came of age during the 24-hour news cycle and were disenchanted because of it.
Yeah, I don't care about nothing, brah.
Boomers raised millennials who were coddled by open communication, collaboration, and casualness. They loved team meetings, regular feedback, and calling parents by their first names.
Good morning, millennials.
Are there that many people who call their parents by their... That's not common, is it?
I don't know anybody who does that.
I don't know anyone either.
I wish I could have come up with this much bullshit, though, and could charge somebody... What? What is the consulting fee for a...
Oh, Trudy, you could charge probably $10,000 a month and be on retainer.
Oh, my God.
At least. Xers are raising tech-savvy Zers who are pragmatic, driven, and competitive digital natives, which is to say they're on Snapchat, not Facebook. Imagine putting all these people together on a project. The multi-generational workplace has turned this sort of consulting into a growing and lucrative industry. David and Jonah Stillman.
Oh.
What?
Whoa.
That's two people. Every story talks
Please
about
welcome
them.
Welcome, Jonah Stillman.
Are they the only two who actually
that
have
I know
that
of.
Gig?
By the way, who the fuck cheers him? Why is he? Jonah Stillman. Like we all know who this superstar is.
75% of Gen Z would be interested in having multiple roles within one place of employment.
Okay, listen to this. This just gets worse and worse and worse. Expectations that the younger workforce brings with them to the office. Jonah, who is, I think he's 20 or 21 now.
Oh.
He says he would never fill out an online application if he could help it. Mm-hmm. He'd prefer to submit a video or ideally email the hiring manager, upload his resume to the company's Dropbox or Google Drive, then grab coffee with someone who might be on his team or even the CEO. Yeah, the CEO wants to have a meeting with someone who doesn't want to fill out an online application to ensure that he can connect with the people in charge.
Oh, because, yeah.
You're 21 years old. Nobody's fucking worried about you getting along with the CEO.
I got to make
idiot.
Sure I like my boss, man.
No, it's,
I mean, that's
he's not your boss. You're a long way from him being your boss.
That's what the Deadspin people just recently tried to do, because Deadspin's been debunked basically since December or something like that.
Yeah.
And no one's been writing. They renegotiated their contract, and what they tried to put in there was that they get final say of who their bosses are.
Interesting.
Because they were very upset that when the new ownership came in, they just brought in white males. So the employees get to pick the diversity of their employers, their
well,
boss.
Well, good luck with that. And I...
Where are the Deadspin people, the ones that all left and then had to burn down Deadspin?
You know, I don't know. They've popped up in various online forums.
Well, aren't they right, though? Morally right? Shouldn't they be rising to the top of something monumental? We should be hearing about them, right?
I would think they would start something of their own. That would be the smart thing to do. If they have so much ability in that group that they don't need a boss and they don't want a boss, then shouldn't they start their own thing? Wouldn't it make more sense?
Yeah, shouldn't they have started it already?
But they... apparently I haven't done that.
Yep. They can't get jobs.
Okay, so here's Jonah. You know, he demands time with the CEO, even though he's a new employee.
So they can connect.
Yes, he can figure out if he can. He can figure out if he can connect.
If
not, the CEO is going to judge him. That doesn't happen. Once he got an offer, orientation and skill building wouldn't have to happen in person. He could watch a YouTube video, or better yet, he could jump headfirst into the process and learn training on the job.
For Gen Z, the real world and the virtual world just completely overlap.
Being encouraged to work through the problem instead of being told a specific way to do it. I see. So he has a better way to do everything that they've spent decades probably figuring out how to do.
What is the difference between watching a YouTube video and learning how to do it and actually and learning it from someone?
Well, he doesn't have to show up at work, for one thing. He can do it in his couch.
So you never have to show up at work. Great.
I guess so.
I love that.
Training videos are always online. You just.
But isn't it funny that he wants to work through problems his own way instead of them telling him how they typically work through the problem? So there would be no blanket ways you do things in the company. Everyone would have their own way of working through a problem.
So you have to meet them where they are.
This generation communicates in symbols, oftentimes, or the rest of us use words.
What if their way isn't as good as the company's way? The company has a lot at stake here. The individual, not as much.
Well, then they'll do it again, and they'll do it again, because...
This is a generation that is willing to pay dues.
On his first day, he'd like to be welcomed into his office as an individual. His office? Oh, he gets an office. As an individual, not another employee. So perhaps there'd be a customized sign waiting for him on his desk, if he even has a desk. Because as a member of the fidgetal generation, he doesn't discern between physical and digital spaces and assumes he'll have the ability to work remotely. He'd expect
Gen Z hates open office concepts. 50% of them want their own office.
He'd expect to have access to his hires up for the occasional brain pick. And perhaps even set up a two-way mentorship because he has things he can teach too. Oh, he's going to mentor the bosses?
Yes.
Wow, that's so cool. Jonah's not
teach
insane.
Them.
Yeah, he is insane. He's just 20, and while he's never applied for a job, well, that's interesting that he knows so much about how to apply for a job when he's never done it. This is how he would like to go if he did. And if companies want to hire people like him, they may have no other choice. Really.
People like him who they never see?
Couldn't they hire people who are 29? Wouldn't that be a choice? If everyone 25 and under has their own rules, then they don't have to hire them. What makes him think that these people have to be, you know, they do it their own way or you can't have them?
You are not the boss of me.
I'm amazed they're paying money for this person who's never had a job to come in and consult Ford and the Vikings about.
Yeah, I wonder how much he changed with the Vikings. Did they learn how to reach Generation Z because of Jonah? How much did they pay him? That's what I'd most like to know.
Oh, they probably paid him a ton. He's
you know they did. You know they did.
That's like radio consultants who don't work in radio.
And you know what all he did? I can tell you what he did right now. He walked into a meeting room and said, yeah, kids my age, they like TikTok. They like Snapchat. You should get a TikTok and a Snapchat.
Yeah, yeah. You have to. And somehow put the company image on TikTok and Snapchat.
By the way, is that information really that difficult to discern?
No.
It seems like it's pretty obvious to me.
All these guys do, Jonah and his dad, are just rattle off a bunch of buzzwords. They essentially took the exact same template that they use probably for millennials, because I'm sure that Jonah's dad has been doing this for a while, and then just tweaked a few things.
The New York Times published a generational workplace story in which Joe Pavelski, a director of programming at a media company and a millennial, told his boss he needed time off from work to attend a funeral. He was lying. He was feeling burned out and really just wanted some time off. He built a treehouse during that week, then wrote the article called How to Lose Your Mind and Build a Treehouse, which began, I said I was leaving town for a funeral, but I lied. When it was published, he tweeted it out for all his coworkers to see. He got off with only a warning. His boss was also a millennial.
Come on, let's climb the tree.
So his boss understood lying to get time off because he was...
Doesn't he just normally get time off?
He was burned out.
He needed a mental health day.
Yes, he needs some mental health time.
And then he ever going into work?
Where he acknowledged lying about taking the time off.
Wait, but he built a treehouse. So that's
the most ridiculous example. No, it's not okay to lie and take time off on no notice whatsoever. That's to say there's a funeral? That's bullshit.
Come on, your house sucks.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's see.
Brandon has strong opinions about this.
Let's see. These young people, myself included, an oversharing 20-something who requires constant feedback and thinks her boss is such a Libra. What? Our direct conduits
my
to
God, current... Drew, you're being such a Capricorn right now.
Our direct conduits to current trends and technologies able to explain, say, how to download the Gmail app or what exactly a hot summer girl is. Hot girl summer is, I'm sorry. This techno-viral fluency goes beyond understanding pop culture, though. Brands use this to attract both a young workforce and a young consumer base. The remix, how to lead, succeed in a multi-generational workplace. This is just too stupid to even read, isn't it? They talk about how they can tell, but based on someone's laptop, what generation they're in.
Oh, really?
Because older people will have kids, pictures of their grandkids, and... I mean, is there something wrong with looking at someone and figuring out how old they are approximately? I mean, doesn't that usually work? Do you have to go to their desktop?
That's ageism, though. You can't do that.
No, I would think that this would be discouraged.
Why is it okay for Gen Z to be ageist and not the other way around?
I would think they would know better.
Well, you'd think that they'd be appalled by themselves.
Let's see. It's funny how they put down the other generations in this multi-generational workplace piece. Like,
okay, boomer.
Way to understand how individuals see the world based on the events or circumstances that have shaped them. In the workplace, that can include things like how many years a baby boomer worked before email existed, or how many years millennials expect to work before receiving a promotion. She likes to think about what an employee might expect to see on her desk her first day at work. A desktop computer, a laptop outfitted with Wi-Fi, a desk phone. Will they want to instant message their coworkers? Maybe they
my first day.
Maybe they hope to only use their cell. And then they talk about this terrible incident that happened when they had a Gen Z person answering the phone, and they didn't know you could put people on hold or how to put people on hold. So therefore, this generational divide, you know, cost the company valuable time.
But it wasn't their fault because they didn't know?
No, it's not their fault. Of course
they could have gone to a
nothing
YouTube
is Gen
video
Z's
and learned
nothing
how.
Is Gen Z's fault. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh,
fuck off.
Why is the New York Times doing this story?
Oh, is that in... That's in
yeah,
the Times.
It's the New York Times.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Brandon,
are you okay?
We have a boner line today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. We do have a boner line today. Boner line number 94.
Okay.
94?
Yeah, we're closing up on 100 of these bad dogs.
Cool.
And the boner line is brought to you by Lover's Lane. They have three ways to shop for all your sex essentials, 35 store locations, loverslane.com, and the all-new sexdrive.com. Sexdrive.com features high-quality sex toys, vibrators, fun and exciting couples toys, and the most erotic apparel anywhere. So try something new in the bedroom. Check out sexdrive.com, powered by Lover's Lane.
Drew, Mark, Brandon, Trudy Zoobs.
Trudy Zoobs.
Had a small outpatient surgery today, but they put me under some drugs, some good stuff.
Drugs aren't the answer.
And apparently I was talking in drops the whole time, and I kept telling them, thanks for listening to the podcast. I was dropping some Schwarzenegger and
how are you?
Some Mel Gibson, which they were really confused by.
You don't feel very much when you're on the stuff.
Just want to let you know, I won a PS4 from Taco Bell using a no purchase necessary entry. Just thought I'd let you know.
Wow, good for you.
Audio separated at birth. Jim Bentley and Brandon.
Yeah, Brandon and Jim Bentley separated at birth. I can't tell the difference between the two of them.
The voices of Bentley and Brandon are similar.
Audio separated at birth. Bentley and Brandon.
Oh, I'd love to have a voice like that. What a voice.
Got an audio separated at birth. Vern Troyer, I'm all right. And one of Antonio Brown's farts.
Hey, Drew, you brought up what you called skitching. And I started cracking up. I'm 47. Grew up on the mean streets of Livonia, and we called it shagging. Wonder if there's other names for it around town. But
yeah, baby. Yeah.
I can officially call out Mitch Albom for his bullshit. I played for MSU from 96 to 2000 under Nick Saban when Coach Tucker was holding scout team cards. And I can tell you, he did not have any fucking time to go start showers after practice.
I wouldn't lie to you guys.
Hey, I figured out why WJR has so much advertising. I think everybody who advertises on WJR is just like Drew and forgets that they have an annual payout to WJR.
I don't remember!
I have never, ever, ever listened to AM radio on a regular basis. I'm 40 years old.
I'm a man! I'm 40!
Like, maybe 5 to 10 times in my life have I listened, turned to AM to listen to something. And that's been, you know, maybe a football game or something that I needed to find when I was driving in the car. But besides that, never. AM radio is stupid. Just get rid of it.
Soon AM radio will reign king once more.
Yeah, you guys are talking about the Goose Lake Festival. It's actually a huge campground now. They have cover bands every Saturday night out there in the summertime. I go there every weekend in the summertime.
Sounds like a great one.
Y'all getting hoodwinked. Drew saying, well, is it hot down here? Y'all know he's going sneaking up there and taking a big old poop. Hot dog water.
2 minutes of hot dog water.
Separated birth. Katie Sowers can't compare it to the Teletubbies when they say again, again, again.
Again, again, again.
Let's run it again. Run it again. Let's go.
I am a liberal vegan.
Bunch of liberal trendies.
And I love when you talk to Ted Nugent. Thanks for interviewing him.
Ted, where you at?
Hey, hotter chick. Diane Sawyer or Helen Mirren? I gotta go with Diane Sawyer. There's something about her that's just sultry.
I disqualify myself because I done them both.
Bernie Sanders is saying that Mike Bloomberg is immoral. He was saying that it's immoral that he has more wealth than 125 million other Americans. I mean, if you're gonna insult Bernie Sanders, I mean, get it right.
Crazy Bernie.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Go be
Yeah, I wasn't really sure what he meant, to be honest. I guess I understand that.
Crazy Bernie?
Yeah. And Bernie, by the way, if Bernie and Trump run, oh my God, is that going to be ugly?
Oh,
oh my God.
Holy crap.
Wow. Bernie was on 60 Minutes last night, and what's the new thing? Is it child care?
Oh,
free child care?
Free, yeah, free daycare, which is, hey.
Brandon wants that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I love the idea, too. I mean, that's something that is outrageously expensive for people. I just, you know, I was wondering how we're going to pay for it. But then he says, when we have a tax cut for the rich, nobody says, how are we going to pay for it?
Yeah.
So
Anderson Cooper, I thought, fired off a couple of really good, kind of pushed back a little bit on Bernie's, you know, the idea that he's changed so much in government.
Yeah.
On A. Coop was like, but a couple of those things were renaming post offices.
He also said,
like, No, I had health care.
And I don't watch Bernie Sanders that much. I've seen him in a couple debates. I've noticed about three or four times where he said something and I thought, oh, that's in a commercial. That's in an attack ad. And last night it was Fidel Castro had a literacy program when he took over Cuba. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if Fidel Castro is a great example of government we want to have a piece of.
No, but, you
or
know.
Advice. I don't think he's a mentor for American leaders.
I never even thought about that, though. That was kind of a totally unique idea to me that, yeah,
Castro had a literacy program.
He was all over Cuba for so long, but everybody kind of dug it because they were taken care of.
Great guy.
But Cuba.
Wait a minute.
There's a lot of things Cuba doesn't have. Like, they don't have any new cars. All the cars are built with parts from old cars.
Maybe they're better off. But that doesn't explain why so many of them would.
It's
like,
pretty cool. It looks like it's something out of the 50s.
It's really weird to look at. And I enjoyed looking at it. I just don't know if I would enjoy it as a person that drives places. I'm not sure that would appeal to me.
There's no air conditioning in any of those cars, for sure.
I thought that this would be over, though, with the changes in the last couple years.
If everybody loves Cuba so much because under Fidel Castro, though, why do most of them now live in Miami?
Yeah.
Although Elian loved it because he went back.
Not sure how that's all working out. I don't really know about the literacy program either.
They broke Elian's bed.
Are people more literate in Cuba than anywhere else?
Supposedly, they're.
Que pasa?
I honestly have no idea. I did hear, by the way, that Bloomberg has released those people from NDAs and that there will be no more NDAs.
Oh.
And waiting to see that whatever gets released, I'm sure these girls will be they will be not attacked, but people will want to interview them, and they will reveal all the horrific things that happened to them.
What could it be?
And
bad jokes.
Yeah, some very bad jokes. But, you know, honestly, that's why, you know, when I heard that song, Blank Generation, I thought, that song seems like it fits now. It's from 1977, but honestly, couldn't everyone be canceled? Doesn't everyone say something they shouldn't say once in a while?
Oh, hell yeah.
I mean, who are these people? And it's amazing the judgment and the self-righteousness. I point it out because it's a joke to me. It's like I constantly go, cancel him, cancel him, cancel him. And I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But it's like you really could cancel everyone. It's sort of like, you know, everyone will have their 15 minutes of fame. Well, shit, everyone can be canceled.
Oh, hell yeah. For sure. Because everybody has to forensically study their past.
Yeah, everyone has to say the same thing, think the same thing. And when they go off the charts and say something bad or do something bad that doesn't help the greater good or the perceived greater good. And sometimes.
If you do anything wrong in your life, and I find out about it, I'm going to try to take everything away from you. And I don't care when I find out. It could be today, tomorrow, 15, 20 years from now. If I find out, you're fucking finished.
I'm stunned at some of the things that I read about in this category. For example, when Joe Rogan said that he endorsed Bernie Sanders, and I think Joe was being sincere, and Joe has a show that is extremely popular. I'm not sure. It might be the most popular show in America.
Yeah.
I don't know what Howard Stern's numbers are on Sirius, but Joe has, doesn't he have millions?
It's monstrous, yes.
It's like 10 million people. So he endorses Bernie Sanders. I would think that'd be a great thing. But Bernie then said, yeah, I got Joe Rogan's endorsement. This is great, blah, blah, blah. And he was immediately criticized because Joe Rogan has said some things that we don't like. And
good luck with the podcast.
He doesn't have many female guests.
Oh, okay. So, canceled.
Well, Joe Rogan is interested in what Joe Rogan is interested in terms of guests. You know, he's an MMA guy.
Sure.
He's a, you know, fight type of guy.
Mm, yeah.
He likes drugs. He likes a lot of things that are off the charts. I mean, really, that's probably part of his appeal.
It's his fucking show.
It is his fucking show, and some shows are meant to reach females. Some shows are meant to reach males. Some shows are meant to reach anyone it can reach.
Well, when there are no genders in the future, then what are people going to do?
Well, then we won't even have to count who's being reached.
I want to get angry at Morning Toast for not having more male guests.
Good morning, millennials.
Oh, do you have a list of their guests? I'm just curious. Oh, but that's okay because they're females.
I'm pretty sure they just watch like the Real Housewives of Orange County, and then they react to it. And
yeah, is that
the five things you need to know today?
Oh, boy. I hate that bit.
One, yeah.
That's weird. That's one of those shows that I heard one of these podcasts making fun of it, and I was like, wow, this show is a popular show. What? Because I try to, in my mind, go, okay, why is this popular? Who likes it? And I could not figure it out. It's like, these are not people that are extremely well known for something else. I think there's one of them is a stand-up, right?
She says she's a stand-up, but I don't know.
And the other ones are friend or sister. I don't know. Anyway, they get big numbers. They get huge numbers of people listening. And I just go, what is it that these...
I don't know. Let's pop into today's...
are getting.
Let's pop... Anywhere, I'm going to pop 33 minutes into today's episode.
They're one person.
Oh, I guess so. But I feel like even if... okay, so there's beef. He blocked her. But like he was trying to be mature about it.
Yeah.
And not air their beef out on national television. So I kind of like...
I thought it was so unnecessary.
I thought it was unnecessary,
and
too.
By the way, I have recently become like an Ashley Benson, Cara Delevingne like groupie. Like I'm an apologist, but I don't...
culture fan, like I loved the tea, but just as two people who are friends or foes, it's just like that was
wow.
They're talking about reality television.
Okay. Yeah, they'll probably have a big day tomorrow with The Bachelor.
Oh yeah,
the fantasy suites.
that's right.
Girls in the same
sex.
And they're not with the bachelor. Oh,
lots
boy.
Of sex.
I got to fight.
I think this ending is going to be one of the most dramatic ever.
Bloody?
One of the worst ever, because it sounds to me like the girl who's a virgin is going to get mad because he gets it on with one of the other two.
Yeah.
And so she's going to bolt.
Okay.
And she's one of the picks. So she's out of here.
Oh.
And then there's all these recent pictures of him with a producer of The Bachelor.
Yeah. Do you think that's real or?
I don't know. No, that's why I said I think it could be the most dramatic.
I wonder if that's real or they're using that to cultivate interest.
Well, if that's the thing,
it doesn't matter to them.
He doesn't pick any of the contestants. Then that's 2 years in a row now that this stupid show that has 3 hours of content a week, sometimes six, doesn't even have a conclusion because in the very end, no one wants to be with him.
Yeah, I would agree. That's kind of a problem because last year, Hannah B. picked that musician guy. Yeah, and it turned out she finds out like the day after she picks him. I know, and he was the worst pick.
I know.
Horrible pick.
He's goofy.
He's an adult. And, but he played a song for her. Oh my God. And they they produced a song together too, which the song sucked. It was terrible. But she's on a song and she likes that. Anyway, the next day she finds out that he did indeed have a girlfriend when he came to The Bachelor. But he said that he had told her that, you know, things were on ice or things were shaky or he dumped her the day before he left or something like that. But that wasn't good enough for Hannah B. Hannah B. said, you're out of here.
You guys said that we did this for the show.
Just wanted to get famous with his guitar. He wanted to get famous for his singing and songwriting.
And I sensed that from early on, because anytime he could play his guitar, he played his guitar. Has he done shit since then, by the way?
Nope, I haven't heard of him at all.
What about her? What is she doing?
Oh, she
did the new Bachelor.
Dancing with the Stars. She won that.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, she's all over the place.
There's another big gap in my cultural dashboard there. Is that show?
I think she's
I've never been able to stop
pretty well expended all of her. I mean, I think it's kind of over now.
What these people expect that go on these shows is they expect to become influencers. They're done working. They're going to be models now. They're going to be podcast hosts like Nick Vile.
But you know what?
Doesn't anybody ever want to work a real job and have like
No, if you can be an influencer. Will you check Nick Vile on Chartable? I just want to see where that guy turns up.
The Vile Files, do you mean?
Yes.
Great name.
Can you find it under Chartable? Because that'll tell us if it's... Because it was... I looked it up. I was like, oh, this asshole. And I listened to some of it, and I was like, oh, my God, it's terrible. And then I looked it up, and I saw it had an insane number of people rating it and loving it.
13,500 ratings.
Yeah, 4.5. That's crazy huge. It's not that old a show. Does it show up as ranked on Chartable?
So he's number 64 in Canada Society and Culture.
That's it?
229 in Denmark Society and Culture. I don't see anything on U.S. Okay, here's Spotify, number 43.
Society and Culture, that's not a big category. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything. He's not in the comedy category or...
No, Society and Culture.
Okay, so apparently everyone that listens reviews it. Every single person, or he has people who just are bots and they rate it from 19 different locations. But he has national advertisers on that show. I mean, that's really one of the things that is so hard about this. You know, I listen to a lot of these other shows that are national, and I guess because, you know, it's Dennis Miller or it's whoever it might be, Nikki Glaser. It's not hard for them to get national buys.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably, I know they charge a lot more for those commercials. Meanwhile, because so much of our business is in Detroit, we have all these local advertisers. And when we get a national one, it usually works out pretty well. But it's just.
Commercials have the power to change the world.
It's not an easy way to go. And it's kind of, honestly, it's kind of amazing that the shows that we have here have done as well as they've done, that they all have advertising. It's not easy.
Work really hard.
Tough gig, man.
Ow.
Unless you're Nick Vile. And it turns out he really doesn't He doesn't turn up on the main category.
He was on 2 seasons of The Bachelor, 2 seasons of Bachelor in Paradise. This guy has made a career of The Bachelor. That's it.
How dumb is that? You know, there's a lot of people like that, though. Like Hannah B., won't she be on Bachelor in Paradise?
Oh, probably, because she doesn't have anybody that wants to nail her right now, so she better go on another one of these shows, get paid more money, and maybe she can find some D.
They have these huge Twitter followings.
Really, she can't find D anywhere?
Can you see what her Instagram following is?
She's so hot. She doesn't need to have... That's another bullshit about these shows. Everybody that goes on the show is so... damn hot. You do not need to go on a show to get a significant other.
Right.
Jeez.
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Tinder. Just go on Tinder. Go to the bar.
Oh, I bet she has a gazillion followers.
Yeah.
Let's see. Hannah B., Hannah Brown, 2.6 million. So, I mean, just on Instagram alone, they're probably pulling, you know,
She makes money.
$20,000 a year just for that.
No, probably more than that.
You're right, especially if they do ads.
She probably makes 6 figures.
What's her day like? Because I'm sort of under pressure to do more social interaction. I can't think of things sometimes. So what do you have to do in a typical day?
Hannah B.?
That's a boomer question, but sorry.
Well,
looks to me like she takes a lot of selfies.
How many times she need to be nude?
Oh, no, I don't think she's ever been nude.
Yeah, she's... Oh, no? She's got some sexy pictures, but nothing.
How many times do you have to show your boobs, like not all the way out, but just cleavage?
Nope, that's not Hannah B.
Yes, Hannah B. doesn't. she's got the Bachelor crowd. I mean, that's all she needs. And I would love to spend time just wailing on Hannah B. But it's really Harry and Meghan who are driving me out of my mind because this is so stupid. For them, I think it's so funny that they said, well, we're not going to use the word royal, but we could if we wanted to, because the queen doesn't own it. It's like, oh, really?
You don't own that word, so, Grandma.
What you're saying is the queen's really not real. Kind of like you weren't real as the whatever's of Sussex. What was it? The royal...
Yes, the Duke and Duchess of
Royal Sussex.
Yeah, those weren't real either. And this isn't real, you telling us, you know, how you're going to come to America and have people throw their money at you because you're nobody.
It's real.
She was an actress who had one show that was kind of a hit, and that's it.
She wasn't even the star.
No, she wasn't. She's 37 years old. So it's kind of like sort of over. But no, it's not, because they were married as a member of the royal family. And Harry, I'm surprised. It doesn't seem like it's all Meghan. It's all her master plan. And poor Thomas Markle. Every family member of Meghan hates her. Just hates her. They do. They write books. They give interviews. Thomas Markle just said that, you know what? I'm going to take money for whatever I want to take money for, because she said she'd take care of me in my old age and she wouldn't even talk to me. So I'm going to have to make money off her stupid life.
Wait a minute.
That's basically what he said. Did you happen to see that, Brandon?
Yeah, we might even have that clip, but I don't know which one it is.
He said they had an agreement where he'd be a load, and she
said
take care
she
of him?
Would. No, she didn't. The agreement was not that he would be a load. The agreement was he is, but that wasn't the agreement.
Let's try this one.
Oh,
you've suffered a lot of health issues in the last 18 months, and they've shown, it would seem, very little interest in your health. I mean, does that strike you as pretty extraordinary?
Well, when my father got sick, I went to the hospital. When my mother got sick, of course, I went to the hospital. I think it's a family thing to do. You take care of your parents. Here again, I'm saying take care of your parents, and I'm not asking my daughter to take care of me. I'm saying,
but she said she would.
Your parents.
She said she would, and she isn't. So he's selling interviews. He's selling anything he wants.
Could he sound drier?
And he's so tired.
I know. And Thomas Markle Jr., he hates her, her brother.
Mm-hmm. TMJ?
Yeah. He,
And the half-sister,
he's broke.
Right? Half-sister hates her.
Who hates her?
Half-sister hates her.
Oh, yeah. Oh, her half-sisters hate her from day one.
Yeah, I think there's a couple half-sisters that hate her.
Oh, they were early adapters. Yeah. Hate her?
There's a few of them that tried to suck up because they wanted to go to the wedding, and they were blown out before long. I think her mother, isn't her mother the only relative she even invited?
Yeah.
She invited George Clooney and Amal, who she barely knows. She invited
Oprah. Shut up, Meg.
And I'm stunned that all these big people in America, like they had, was it they have dinner with J-Lo or something? Like, why would people like that want to meet these idiots, these climbing idiots?
I don't really understand, but
are they slumming it?
It sucks because they're America's problem now.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I was positively stunned to read that Canada and the UK have been trying to negotiate a deal on security for these two dopes, that Canada would pay 50% and America or the UK would pay 50%. And then I see where they bought this mansion in, is it Beverly Hills or... It's a $7 million home. You can go on a tour of it. And the neighbors are Robert Downey Jr.
Wait, they bought property then?
Yeah, they bought a big mansion in L.A. And so who's going to pay for their security in America?
But aren't you supposed to, A, have a job, B, go to a job, and C, pay for your own bills?
They're going to get a job, and Megan's working with Oprah on her mental health documentary.
Oh, Christ. John Bon Jovi is cutting a tune for them, too, so that they can...
What?
For their charity. Yeah, I know.
Really?
What is wrong with you, Bon Jovi? By the way, I want a forensic accountant checking all their charities and finding out, are they making money in their charities?
Yeah, I bet they
are. Are there officers? Are there people who are paid? I bet there are. Uh-huh. Damn it, I need a forensic accountant. That's so much work for a forensic accountant. It's mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is.
Has anyone seen the... This is really cool. It's called Playing for Change, where they take a popular song, in this case, The Weight by the band... And they have people around the world playing instruments on it, and then they mix it together. But they make a video where they mix it, and they show you all these people from all over the world playing. And the only people in America, I think, are Robbie Robertson and Ringo.
Wow.
In fact, there's other people playing lead guitar. There's other people playing mandolins, and there's a guy playing sitar from India.
Whoa, okay.
You know, all these wacky instruments, and it comes out great. And the video's
what
just cool.
What is it in, Robbie?
Oh. Ringo.
Ringo.
F-demented.
F-demented?
There's Robbie Robertson.
Oh. Sounds good.
Pulled into Nazareth. I was feeling about half past.
Some dude in South Carolina.
Just Ringo. And everyone's playing outside, too.
Cool.
It's kind of neat.
Some dude in Italy.
Where are those chicks?
I don't know. Some chicks in California.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Some dude in Japan.
My bed,
Congo.
When looking for a place to hide, when I saw both gone on the door, walking side by side. Say, hey, come on.
How many of these do they have?
I don't know. There's a few other songs, I believe.
Yeah, so but Playing that one just for Change is the YouTube channel.
Speed up about 2 minutes on this thing. I mean, there's like people in Saudi Arabia playing instruments. It's crazy. Here's the sitar.
Oh, whoa. He really wails.
If you can wail.
He wails.
I can do that.
Back to Robbie. There's the Saudi Arabia guy with that, whatever that weird instrument is. Back to Ringo. Back to Robbie. Sitar guy. Just me, and is that Lucas me Nelson, Willie's kid? Yeah. He said, I will fix
your rack if you will take Jack. Nepotism.
Exactly.
I said, wait a minute,
are there other songs on this that are...
What's this project for?
Visible?
What's the change that they're...
I'm not sure what they're trying to do. I don't care. I just like the song.
Oh, yeah,
whatever they're doing, I'm for it.
No, that's pretty cool.
A song that I know. There's Joker Man by Bob Dylan. They do a lot. There's a whole bunch of them.
It's a pretty...
Imagine Dragons. I'm trying to see.
Like,
Imagine
pick some better songs.
I know.
Sweet effort.
Fannie Mae.
Fannie Mae. What's that?
Feliz Navidad. oh, here's one. Here's one.
Okay. Man.
So.
Okay. Okay. Oh, no Otis Redding available for this, though.
No, he's dead.
Oh, this fits because you get to be outside sitting on the dock of it.
Hear the waves.
Hey.
I'm sitting in the morning.
Who's that, Brandon?
Sitting on a dock because I'm dead.
John Johnson. Jack Johnson.
I thought there was a real voice coming in.
The ships roll in. And then I'll watch them roll away again. Sitting on a cot cause I'm sitting gay. Sitting on the top of the bed. Watching the tide roll away. Ooh. Sitting on the dock of the bed. Wasting time. I left my
Otis Redding the third.
What?
Oh.
What? Plays lefty. How cool is that?
Dexter Redding.
Oh.
And look like nothing's gonna come out.
Sign him to a deal. Immediately.
Sitting on a cot because I'm gay.
Who's Corinne Bailey? I don't know who she is.
Sitting on a cot.
That chick's in Spain playing acoustic.
Nailed it.
No, that was one of the singers that sang it.
Looks like Aloe
Black.
Everything's still
this is a cool concept of the fact that, you know, you can have all these people anywhere throughout the U.S. or the world, have them each piece together a, you know, their own part, and then put the song together all in one. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Rest in my bones.
Back to Jack Johnson.
Leave me alone. So... 1,000 miles I roam.
Is that Otis the third again?
No.
Oh, that's guy.
That's there these is. Two guys.
Sitting on a cot because I'm big. Watching
Otis Redding Foundation students?
Sitting on a cot because I'm big. Wasting time.
It's a cool concept.
I love the unifying energy behind all that. That is
it's pretty cool.
Sitting on a cot because I'm gay.
That guy, too. I mean, he.
It's Louis C.K. I'm surprised they
my
put him
name
in there.
Is Melman Mosengo. I am from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And I've got my brother here, Ali.
You guys probably shouldn't
Lala
do this song by the fire.
Bahrain.
Right.
Check you can it hear out. It.
Oh, the fire's mic'd.
Is Clapton going to jump in here? So I shot the sheriff.
Sitting on a cot because I'm gay.
Clapton's on tour.
You and I will shout the sorrow. But I didn't shout no good.
Yeah, again, in the background, shooting a gun into the sky. It's pretty
well,
cool.
They added
this
that
one
in.
Actually doesn't go. This is just those two dudes.
What?
Yeah.
That's not playing for change.
Doesn't seem right.
It's not. Stand by me. Is this going to be one dude now?
Sitting on the
I'm spoiled. I like the way they did it the first down the Robbie Robertson one.
You're right. This
the
is
Ringo.
One.
I don't want one guy. Yeah, and I want Ringo on drums.
I want Ringo on always. All the drums. Yeah. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Okay. So it's.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
It's pretty. I thought the weight thing
that.
Was way cool.
It's interesting. Yeah.
It's monstrously cool.
And it's and it differentiates from just a guy playing a bass track along with. You know,
yeah,
himself in the four corners, like our white shirt guy. Is that
video?
Oh,
definitely,
yeah, that guy.
The video definitely helps.
Yeah,
cool. You know, there was a couple local things. One, there's the guy accused of hiding cameras at the Shelby Township tanning salon.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
that?
Yep.
They charged a guy, 38-year-old guy named Brian Massaborski or something like that. Anyway, he's charged with eavesdropping and something else. And I'm thinking. God, that seems like a eavesdropping. It's a little more than eavesdropping.
Yeah, that's
taking video of nude people Uh-huh. In it, well, potentially nude. I don't know how many people were nude. Or
everybody gets nude at the tanning salon, so it's
so
nude.
This is what I get so pissed about. This guy has a 2005 conviction for eavesdropping.
Oh, wow.
So here he is doing it again. And, gee, I wonder if he's done it since 2005, between 2005 and this one he just got busted for. I wonder, you know?
Yeah.
I mean...
Of course he did.
You know, this technology, it's just a problem. It's a problem. It can be a problem.
Have you ever been to a tanning booth?
I have not.
Nah, I didn't think so. You do. It's pretty. It makes you feel very vulnerable. Because
yeah. Absolutely.
You should be nude. You've got to be nude.
Before I'd go on my, like, whatever, I'd go to spring break in college.
Yeah.
I would.
I should bronze up.
I would tan a little bit because I didn't want to. I'd be so pasty white. I didn't want to get burned on day one.
Yeah,
and
that sucks.
I got a lot of hell.
That
a lot
blows.
Of people made fun of me for it.
Yeah.
And then Coco McAvoy from Channel 4 announced that she's leaving and she's going to Los Angeles. And so I'm reading a story, and she's pretty young, like 27, 28. Yeah. I mean, that's a big jump. That's pretty cool.
Oh, Coco,
number big two market. And I'm reading the comments because I just can't help myself. Like, you know, congratulations, and you know she's done a great job. She should be great. And then, of course, there's always one asshole in there. He's like, "Good luck making on a night reporter salary in Los Angeles."
Oh, wow.
What the fuck you?
Dick, that's
fuck
her dream.
Yourself. Well, yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
God, why is there always has to be some dick?
It really
always.
Does.
Yeah. And Anu Prakash is, this is her last week at Channel 7, I think.
That's a bummer. I'm sad to see her go, too.
She, you know what? She's not going anywhere, though. Isn't she
just
done with TV?
Live her best life.
I guess. And I could see why somebody could be worn out.
Sure.
On TV. I noticed that maybe she's an editor of Detroit News, and she's going to Cranes, and there were a bunch of stuff on Facebook about that. And I was thinking how hard it must be now to be, you know, in the newspaper business or the radio business, and I assume TV is probably just as hard because it's just not what it was. And so, I mean, you've got to really want to do it, and you've got to get, I mean, I don't even know what the top is. Because, you know, I remember the first time I took a sales job right out of college, and I was doing radio part-time. I thought, I'll never make it in radio. Everyone says I can't make it in radio. Everyone says you can't make any money in radio. So I believed them, and I took their advice, and I got a sales job with a paper company. And there was a maximum, like if you got all your commissions and you could make this. And I think in any business that you go into, you kind of want to know, you know, where are you going to end up or what? And it's, you know, I don't know what that is anymore I know the guys at the top make good money, but what about the people who are, you know.
In the middle?
In the middle, exactly.
What were you selling?
Like a living? Paper products.
Paper products?
Yeah.
So basically your life was the office.
No, it was.
Boxes.
I was on the
Who's
road.
Gonna
yeah,
buy
boxes,
that crap?
Corrugated. It wouldn't always necessarily be boxes, although sold a ton of boxes. But
there's some actual audio here about you trying to sell some paper.
Oh, cool.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
Yeah, that's one of my sales calls. And I converted that guy. I got the business away from I think it was Weyerhaeuser.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, somebody big.
Don't.
I think with all these, you know, seeing all these people, these name people, now this is, it's down to the second round of stripping down personalities. So it can't be, I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder, will they replace these people?
With people who.
They just.
Oh, maybe millennials who can connect from home.
Hmm. And the new basketball ratings came out. And I see where Michigan is number 22 and Michigan State is number 24. Michigan lost 9 games in. I mean, it seemed like a month they lost 9 games, and all of a sudden they're playing great. They beat Purdue at Purdue. And, you know, there's been a lot of good news at Michigan this week.
Yeah. Not much at all. Go Boilermakers!
Really?
But Xavier Simpson has picked himself up, and basketball team's playing very well. So I expect they're gonna make the tournament.
Yeah,
where they're going now.
For a minute there, though,
really?
It was pretty sketchy.
Yeah, it was very sketchy. Very. So good for the Wolverines.
Anything can happen once you get in.
You know, when they beat Purdue on Saturday, I wasn't that surprised. And
go Boilermakers!
I am of the feeling that the basketball program is the great program at Michigan. Year after year after year with Beeline, they had great finishes. They did played great in the tournament. They beat big teams. They surprise you. They can beat teams on the road. They can win big games in the tournament. They can upset people. And it seems like football just doesn't do that.
Well, they
just
made,
don't.
Didn't they make the championship at least, was it,
yeah, they
twice?
Won the championship 2 years ago, weren't they, against Villanova?
I know they lost against
Louisville. Yeah, they did. They were in the finals twice in 5-6 years, I think.
Yeah, when's the last
amazing.
Time? Michigan hasn't really been that close and along for football.
Michigan has not won the Big Ten in 15 years in football. They haven't been in the playoff ever. And basketball's been in the Final Four twice. So
playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
I know this is not the best collection of players that they've had in recent years, and maybe that's one of the reasons John Beilein left. Oh my God, what a grim ending in Cleveland.
Right. That's crazy. I guess he's still supposed to stay on in some other role, but you know they pushed him out.
They can't negotiate. They haven't negotiated a bye-bye for him. I think that's what's going on. So he's going to play, finish the year and get paid for a full season, and then I don't know what. But you know what I did see was that I wondered, you know, how poorly is that team performing? And I saw they won 18 games in the entire season last year. They were 14-40 when they blew out Beilein. So I didn't really know how much better they were expected to be because
they were
not,
14-40.
Suck. Well, they're 18-63 last year. They sucked.
Remember when Magic Johnson went 5-11 as head coach?
Yeah.
Roy Rubin in 73 went 4-47. That's pretty bad,
huh? Well, there's plenty of Jerry Tarkanian. He didn't last long. 9-11. I was shocked when they fired him because I was like, "Oh, Jerry Tarkanian, the Shark is back." And 20 games in, nope. It just seems that college guys. Eli and Denny were talking about this, and Bob Page. By the way, they had a great show on Thursday. I listened to it last night.
Okay.
I haven't listened to today's show. They had Rocky Colavito on.
Rocky Colavito.
Way cool. One of the biggest home run hitters in the history of the Detroit Tigers. He's 86. And
wow.
I guess sounds like he's sharp.
He is sharp, yeah. We didn't have any issues with him talking to him today. He was on the ball. He wanted to talk about the sign stealing. He had some great stories about sign stealing in the past. So check that one out. Rocky Colavito, great.
Wait, that used to happen in the past?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He has a great story about using technology in sign stealing in 1967 with the White Sox. So it's not that new, but these guys, the Astros got caught. They need to pay the piper now. So
I'll tell you what, they had a great I love the Thursday show because I'm just not following. I'm not in the weeds on the NBA anymore. Mm. Just not. I just don't. I think sports radio has just ruined it. And so I don't really watch regular season. I'll watch, you know, when it gets the finals and the semifinals, of course I'll be watching. And same with hockey. I'll probably watch the Stanley Cup finals.
Boom! But, hot take!
but it's nice. I like listening to that show because every 3 days it kind of tells me what's going on. And there's some great discussion and those guys will argue with each other. And they really don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they're right. They'll argue.
And I think when you're listening to people that don't give a shit, you're listening to something more interesting than somebody who does give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
They, you know. Anyway, they were talking about the sign stealing with the Astros, and I was trying to decide who I agreed with because they were arguing like hell with each other. Bob was saying that, who was it? Stanton said he'd have 80 home runs.
That's what Giancarlo Stanton came out and said. If he would have been able to steal signs, he would have hit 80 in 2017 because he had a big year that year, but 80 home runs is a lot of home runs, and so Denny was like, bullshit!
Well, yeah, Denny made a great point. He said, well, the Astros had the signs. Why didn't Altuve hit 400? If it's that's all it is, and honestly, I think that was overblown. I wish I could have been in the conversation because I enjoyed it so much, but I wanted to say, you know, most hitters are guess hitters. Mm-hmm. So if they're guessing fastball and they get a fastball, they're going to do a lot better.
Right.
And it's when they're fooled and they're wrong and there's two strikes that they're shit out of luck.
Yeah.
And but otherwise, you know.
It's like they're swinging at nothing. It's like, what are you doing? Well, it's not easy to hit a 90-mile-per-hour fastball and then have a 76-mile-an-hour changeup. It just throws you off.
Yeah, when you're thinking fastball. And I had a coach my freshman year in college who was amazing because he would watch pitchers and how they put their hand on the ball and the glove from the third base coaching position. He could see behind their back what they were doing. And he used to pick their pockets a lot. He was really good.
I just liked baseball when I was a kid.
What, I mean, why wouldn't you be able to steal signs if you're using your powers of observation? Isn't that like counting cards? Are you really cheating?
But observation is one thing, but when you start bringing technology and stuff, then it just starts to seem a little bit more cheating because everybody's going to steal signs no matter what.
Oh, yeah. If you're on second base and you're not looking at the catcher's signals and you're not trying to figure them out for the hitter, and usually there is a way to relay that if you do figure it out, then I think you're just mentally lazy.
And that's what's so interesting about Rocky Colavito today when we were talking to him. He played a long time ago. I mean, this was a guy that even Eli and Bob grew up watching. And here he is stealing signs in the 60s.
I had his 1967 White Sox card, and I was like, as I'm 7 years old, I was really excited. Oh, it's a White Sox. Because I grew up in Chicago, and it was Rocky Colavito, and I was like, who's this guy? And I turned the card over, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's got 300 and some home runs, you know, which was a big – at that time, that was a big deal. And I was kind of wondering if he ever got Hall of Fame votes, because he was a big shot.
Bunt.
Huge.
B-U-N-T.
Bunt the baseball. So, yeah, and they have a new show that is already out, correct? No
yes.
Filter Sports?
Yes, sir.
And – yeah, I enjoyed the Astros discussion. I really hadn't heard a lot of conversation about it because, like I said, I'm not watching SportsCenter all the time like I used to. But why don't you get us out of here, Brandon, and hopefully Mark is here tomorrow because I think Elric's recording tomorrow. That's going to be a hell of a problem. I don't know what they're going to do about that.
Miss Mark.
Has he said if he's coming tomorrow?
He's hoping to. We're hoping that he's – it's up – I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You have to hire board ops, Drew.
Trust me, if it was up to him, he'd be here. He doesn't want to miss any shows.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, why don't you like us on Facebook if you have a chance? And you can also review us on Facebook, and you can review us on iTunes. And I know somebody gave us... It wasn't a bitchy review. They were just saying they were bummed out about Mazz and they gave us 4 stars, which is nice when the people give us 1 star. But mostly reviews have been really good, and they are appreciated. And Dave Mason was supposed to be on today, but that's been moved.
They are in contact with him, waiting back for confirmation on Wednesday.
I see.
So.
And
snubbed!
I know.
Well, at least we knew.
His publicist would not cough up what was so important that he couldn't call us.
Well, there's somebody coming around I was going to say we need to try to get, but I... Is it comedy or music? Or I got to think about this.
Artie is coming in June.
Artie, yeah, that's one we ought to try to get.
Yep. Artie's great.
I heard Artie was canceling dates, and it sounded like there was
a
problem.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know anything. That's just what I heard.
He was just a year clean, like a couple
of
weeks ago.
No, I know, and I saw his Facebook post, and, well... We'll see.
Apple.
He's probably fine. I don't know anything. We'll see you tomorrow.
Canada! Welcome to the sexy portion of the show. Let's get to it. I don't know if you know anything about me. I've led a terrible life. Made a lot of bad decisions. I can't drink. I can't do drugs. I can't have sex with hookers. And I can't gamble anymore. So it's great to be in Montreal. I had to cut down on my to-do list here. You seem like very sophisticated people. You're all bilingual. So it's impressive. I'm sort of bilingual. I learned Spanish from my cocaine dealer in the Bronx. And it's a fun way to learn another language, but it's a bit pricey. Like, I think Rosetta Stone will teach you the entire Spanish language for $49.99. I learned three sentences, and it cost me $2.3 million. And my career. Yeah. But I still have a lot of fun. I mean, obviously, you know, drugs. Anybody here do drugs? All right. Yeah, crystal meth is a good drug if you need to walk to St. Louis one weekend. But you already knew that. Thank you very much. You applaud for that joke. This is a sick crowd. I'll tell you, it's weird to hear a homeless person ask for money in French, because it's such a sophisticated language, you know. They ask me for money in French here, and I'm like, dude, you sound way more successful than I am. How about giving me 20 bucks? In New York, here's how a homeless person sounds when they ask for money. This is literally how they sound. Dollar. Like they've been doing LSD with a rat in the subway for 12 years. Here, a homeless person sounds like the head of an international hedge fund. Well, I'll end with telling you a little something about Canada, Canadian reference. I did a movie with Norm about 15 years ago in Toronto, Canada. First time I was ever in Canada. And it came out, and the true story, the review guy, the critic in my hometown paper said this about me. Artie Lang has all the charm of a date rapist. He really said that. Like, my mother read that. I told Norm, and here's how Norm cheered me up. He goes, hey, man, that's great. And I said, how? He said, a date rapist has to have way more charm than a regular rapist. Ha ha.